There can be no other 97.3. No need to change. Keep it tuned to City. You're number one. Don't look no further. We've got it all covered. City FM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music, talk, inspiration, in perspective.
Express yourself.
Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM, 97.3.
More say. More. So say more.
Unleashing the power of Relevant Radio. This is City 97.3.
More
City.
City 97.3.
So
Sagra.
Hey, more.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Lift your hands and say,
this is the City Breakfast Show.
Yeah.
minutes past 6. 16th April 2024. Diana Hamilton. It's called A Joyful Praise. Ose. Oh my God. A song that builds up into a powerful crescendo. Amen, amen. Blessing and glory. And honor, wisdom, and thanksgiving be unto our God forever. These are spiritual virtues. These are the things we aim for. So, very quick thing to give you this morning. Don't only set external goals. I don't know who set goals of what they want to do. So they want to, I don't know, they want to travel. They want to buy a house. They want to do something, whatever. Now, I learned recently that you can also set goals of things you want to be. Things you want to be, right? So I want to be honest this year, all right? Or this week, I want to speak the truth only. I want to be kinder, right? I want to be a kind person. Or I want to be honorable. I want to be gentle. Whatever you want to do is great, but what you want to be is better. Because it's actually what you are that you do repeatedly. So don't set only doing goals, set being goals. By that I mean don't set only external goals, set internal goals as well. So if you listen to the song, it says, amen, blessing, glory, honor, wisdom. These are very powerful things. These are things which are virtues. And these are things you ascribe to the Lord. So learn to set both internal goals. Goals of things you want to be in addition to things you want to do. Business Sense brought to you by ADB. What are we to you? We offer variety of personal loans, including top-ups at highly reduced rates. Call us on 0302-210-210. Let's talk about your business. Let's talk about your farm. Let's talk about your aggregation, all the things you do in the agric value chain. ADB is there for truly agric and more.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if
unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City
97.3.
Conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Don't stop till you get enough. 6:35, newspaper review on City Breakfast Show. Brought to you by Total Energies, energizing your morning with a specially formulated engine oil with age resistance technology. It's a breakthrough innovation, ensures optimal performance of your engine, improves your protection rather against mechanical wear by up to 74%. Choose quartz from Total Energies. Choose the engine oil that keeps your engine running efficiently and effectively. Fidelity Bank is also proud to be associated with the newspaper review. Pan African Payment and Settlement System, PAPS, is now live at our bank. Imagine sending money to your loved ones everywhere in Africa, Nigeria, Gambia, Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone with Fidelity Bank. Don't wait for days for transactions to clear. No more expensive fees. Just secure fast and affordable payments. Join Fidelity. Join PAPS. Don't stop till you get enough. Keep on. Continuation is the key to excellence. Keep doing what you know how to do best. That's what we do every morning. City Breakfast Show. Don't stop till you get enough. 16th of April, 2024. Richard Delasky,
hey,
Nathan Obodai Kwao joining us with the newspapers on a Tuesday morning. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
I know you are energized. You are feeling the song.
The music is very good.
It was popping.
Music is
timeless
for the soul.
Music. Yeah.
It raises you up. Even when you haven't eaten physical food. It's very important.
It's a classic, you know?
Amazing. And I like what you're wearing.
Yeah,
you're always spotting. How many of these things do you have?
157.
It's every day, but you see them twice, three times, but you wouldn't recognize
it. Really? Is it the same designer?
It's the same Juma. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a shareholder?
No, I'm not a shareholder.
Do you pay him for it?
Yes, of course.
Hey, because the kind of things you are wearing these days.
He got a few pieces for me.
And when I put them on, I got a lot of.
The one he got for me, I need to eat a bit before I go. Because I've been slim much, so I have to eat small.
Small, by the
way. So by next 2 weeks, come soon have a few, then I'll wait. Yeah. So on that note, on what's the name of the brand again?
Juma.
Does he have a website?
It's a lady, actually.
No, you find it here.
Find it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, so Juma. Can you spell it for me?
Juma. So it's G.
G for good.
Yeah, so G-Y, U.
Y for Yao.
Yeah.
Yes. U for Umbrella.
Uh-huh. The M.
M for Musa.
Double A.
A for Allah.
Uh-huh. And then Alex, and then H.
Oh, Juma.
Juma.
Okay.
J-Y-U-M-A-A-H.
I've never thought of it like that. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Does he deliver on time?
Yes. I mean, well,
does he buy made in Ghana material?
Oh, yeah. You can see the Ashanti, these things.
From Ghana?
Yeah, from Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he messes Pepepe?
Pepepe.
Okay. Yeah. I'll deal with Juma.
The Chronicle says this morning, Peter Tobu fires interior minister. They are accusing him of inciting chief inspectors and inspectors against the police administration. You know, Peter Tobu.
The man, his name is Vanda Peter. That's his nickname. That's true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we're in Lagos, it's called Vanda Peter.
Oh, I see.
That's his own Peter. Vote Peter Tobu, vote Vanda Peter. I'm not even lying.
Vandal Peter.
Yeah, that's his nickname.
Oh, I see.
Vandal Peter.
Okay. Also, we are told aspiring PC donates office to La Dade Kotopon, MPP. And then something here that says GCB Bank PLC does not owe Government of Ghana. That's according to the management.
You don't owe them a peso.
Not at all. And the MD's photograph.
It's Kofi, not happy with that story.
Yeah.
Okay. The Daily Graphic says 50 years after establishment, NSS gets first policy. NSS gets first policy.
Okay.
Odor Basin encroachment hampers detention ponds project. And Graphic and SIC step up partnership. And on the back page, road users, this is for you. Second phase, Obeche Bilamte interchange progresses steadily. And families demand justice in the aftermath of the death of two in Tema Mahian shooting incident.
All right.
The Daybreak newspaper says this morning, Ghana external bondholders reach deal. You know, we've been talking about this.
Really?
This is according to Amin Adam. Maybe we'll have to find out what the details are. Also, Alan campaigns on mining in Western region. Now, IGP Kokonsa tape report hangs. So, you know the Kokonsa that the Bugiri Nabu and the Eko were allegedly making. The report on that matter is still not.
The media has given a different name to the probe.
It's called
Kokonsa tape.
And then also something here that says J.K. Hoggle.
No, I also this Hoggle.
Hogley. Oh, yes. A huge, energy. Hogley. Okay, yes, it's Hogley. Oh, I see. Okay. Transport wins total energies award. Hogley.
They catch you.
Yeah,
yesterday, somebody sent me a voice note and was laughing. And said, it's not Hogley, it's Hogley.
J.K. Hogley.
Yes, thank you. Okay. The Daily Guide says, no new taxes, finance minister assures. On the December polls, Mahama is promising new military barracks in new regions. The Daily Guide is now reporting the arrest of NACOC staff in relation to the cocaine matter. Arrest drivers charging illegal fees. That's on page 6. President launches national service policy.
And finally, let me take you to the Anchor newspaper. Honda, is it Zonda?
Zonda Tech.
Zonda Tech. Shantui?
Do you know Shantui?
Tui?
Shantui. You don't remember?
Yes, Shantui, yes.
This,
I remember.
It popped up in Parliament.
Yeah, that was Honorable Ahmadu Sorogo.
Yes, Shantui. It's up there.
Lina, yeah.
So Zonda Tech Shantui Outdoor Modding Equipment. It's not the story of an advert. For mining and construction sector. No, the uncle, you do everything.
Yeah.
With the full photo of the Chinese
Charlie,
and the tracks, everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Story.
Yes, Yan Yan. It's on the front page.
Charlie.
Also, we are told that tempests are high at my Gimpa over renewal of workers' contracts.
Charlie.
We pray for restraint on Gimpa. Charlie, matter day there full time, Charlie, according to the paper. And then Muslim community rejects Israeli ambassador's donation.
Meanwhile,
court orders arrest of CID boss. One other says nobody is above the laws of Ghana.
Okay.
Finally, for me, the graphic business. 1.8 billion CD revenue shortfall. Government falls on foreign income of Ghanaians. And the finance minister's picture is here.
Okay.
To other stories, is affordable housing really affordable?
Oh, the answer
That's
is
a
no.
question on page 9.
It's not affordable at all.
And then on pages 12 and 13, IMF conditions fund disbursement on agreement with bilateral creditors.
City Newsroom lead story. PURC fines ECG board members 5.8 million CDs over Dumso. Yes, for failure to give a timetable and for failing to adhere to other instructions.
Yeah.
They sent a fine, almost 6 million CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, government releases 26 million CDs to pay arrears owed institutional suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
No more buffer stock. Mahama promises to decentralize SHS food supply. Then COPEC is responding to Transport Ministry. We read a story about illegal fares.
Mm-hmm.
Transport Ministry has no power to determine fares, according to COPEC.
Okay.
So this matter will go to court. Meanwhile, taxing foreign incomes of resident Ghanaians, a smart approach, according to a tax analyst. And then Ghana to adjust external bond deal to meet IMF debt sustainability goals. So that's the story you read, where the minister says they've reached a deal. It's almost like an interim deal. Those are City Newsroom stories. My Joy Online lead story is also ECG. ECG board members to cough up 5.8 million in PURC fine over Dumso. Meanwhile, where is the National Cathedral in the performance tracker? Alex Segbefia is asking.
But is it a government project?
I don't know. Meanwhile, Miracle Abuaji says performance tracker seeks to enhance accountability in governance.
Okay.
In other stories, you cannot oppress people doing their work, Puhu tells Ashanti Regional Minister.
Puhu.
And then murder of Majua, family in tears as CCTV footage is played. Now, another man has been jailed 8 months over false claims regarding missing genitals.
Okay.
So they are jailing all of them one by one. Now, if you go to GNA, transport fares increment, drivers await GPRT's directive.
Mm-hmm.
Also, MPP parliamentary primary results have been given. And then, of course, Kwabena Bwatin's election, that's from yesterday. GNA, this is an old story. Let's go to Star FM quickly. Their lead story this morning, Maslow case, ex-CEO Sedinam Tamakolo, Daniel Axim faced judgment today. Meanwhile, Ghana Water Company says we'll publish and take legal action on customers who owe us by May.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't paid, please go and pay. And then conditions of service. Don't blame us for any brouhaha on pre-tertiary level. Teacher unions are warning. Meanwhile, NDC is demanding independent investigation into missing BVRs. Now, everybody in the world is talking about Israel vowing retaliation over Iran attacks after calls for restraint. This is the BBC's lead story. Dozens of jurors ruled out as historic Trump trial begins. So, and then a Sydney church stabbing declared a terrorist attack. Now, can you imagine a 16-year-old boy under arrest after a bishop and several churchgoers were injured on Monday? The man was preaching, a 16-year-old boy,
actually,
terrorist, you know, went to stab the guy.
Hmm.
Crazy, crazy times in the world, indeed. Let's get into the details of the papers.
Yeah, Bernard, this morning I want to take off from the security sector.
Because
there are some interesting stories in the Police Service Administration. Now, page 5 of the Anchor has a story that says, court orders arrest of CID boss and one other. And basically says that no one is above the laws of Ghana. Now, the story says the High Court... Accra has issued a bench warrant for the arrest of the Director General of the Criminal Investigation Department.
DG himself.
Yes. And the DG of the Legal and Prosecution Unit, both of the Ghana Police Service.
Hey.
Now, the arrest orders were issued by the court, presided over by Justice Lydia Osei Mafu. And it followed a persistent failure by the two senior officers to appear in court to answer for alleged contempt charges in a case involving Sure Word Global Outreach. Mm-hmm. Now, the story goes on to say the court's decision came mm-hmm. in response to an application filed by Sure Word Global Outreach mm-hmm. seeking an order for the respondents to release a vehicle with registration number GN292520 mm-hmm. mm-hmm. to the applicant. Okay. Now, during proceedings yesterday, April 15, 2024, mm-hmm. StarFM.com/GH reports that counsel for the applicant, Abraham Arthur, mm-hmm. moved an application for the committal of the CID boss and the DG of the Legal and Prosecution Unit mm-hmm. for contempt for blatantly disobeying the court's orders. Mm-hmm. Now, the orders have been carried out, but the respondents are not in court.
So the judge is ordering...
Yeah, that they should be arrested. So if you see the DG...
But you know what's interesting? The CID and the prosecution they help the Attorney General's Department in court cases.
Exactly.
So they're almost friends of the court.
Uh-huh.
So there must be a reason for their
yeah,
absence.
That's right.
And the judge's anger mm-hmm. is possibly because of the delays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have they been given the time to be arrested? Is there
well, that's what they wonder. It is in effect until they are arrested or they produce themselves in court.
Okay, stay with security.
Uh-huh. Now, Peter Tobu mm-hmm. Is also firing on all cylinders in the newspapers this morning. Now, uh-huh. the story in the Chronicle is by Jennifer Ambole.
Mm.
And it says, the Member of Parliament for the Wild West constituency, Peter Lancheni Tobu, mm-hmm. has publicly criticized Mr. Henry Kwote, alias Accra Commando, the Minister for Interior, for what he perceives as a lack of legal or policy backing for a recent statement he made at the police headquarters. Mm-hmm. Now, the MP's comments, which were made in a Facebook post yesterday, came in response to a statement by the Honourable Minister during his maiden visit to the police headquarters recently. Now, during his meeting with the police hierarchy, Mr. Henry Kwote allegedly announced plans to compile a supplementary special recommendation list for the police academy. So there are questions of possible political, mm-hmm. Lining of people to go and study at the police academy.
Okay.
Now, good news for you. I have told the IGP we shall compile a supplementary special recommendation list to the police academy, the Interior Minister allegedly said. But according to the MP, who is a retired superintendent of police, mm-hmm. the minister's comment lacks solid legal or policy foundation, raising concerns about its validity and potential repercussions within the police administration. You know, there are always questions these days about whether we are not politicizing the police, mm-hmm. the action of the mm-hmm. military or the other yeah. security institutions. People say that they don't see, advertisements for new recruits.
Right, since you are still on security, there's another one you read on IGP Concert Tape, uh-huh. the Daybreak front page,
yes.
and the report is hanging.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that story is trying to say.
Okay, so that one is on page 3, and mm-hmm. it says Ghanaians of the Daybreak newspaper. Ghanaians continue to wait with bated breath, Honorable Atacha, for the release of the tape of the committee probing the leaked tape capturing the alleged plot to oust the Inspector General of Police, Dr. George Ekufo Dampare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, months after the committee ended its public fact-finding sittings, mm-hmm. much has not been heard about the report to the Parliament. Now, sections of the public say if care is not taken, mm-hmm. the much-anticipated report will be left on the shelves to gather dust,
okay.
as has been the fate of other committee reports.
All right, Nathan, what do you have for us?
Well, if you go to the front page of the Daily Graphic, it says a 10-year national policy that sets out a broad framework for transforming the national service scheme has been launched.
Mm.
The policy framework shifts the focus of the scheme from just mainly mobilizing and deploying young graduates into various sectors of the Ghanaian economy,
okay.
into a more holistic capacity building and empowerment sector.
Mm.
The policy document has become necessary since the NSS has operated for years without any policy guidelines, and it was launched yesterday by the President, His Excellency Nana Akufo-Addo.
Let me give you a couple of stories around utilities.
Okay.
PURC fines ECG board members 5.8 million cedis.
Hmm.
Now, this is for board members who served between January to March 18 this year.
Mm-hmm.
The action was taken due to their violation of Regulation 39 of LI 2413, which requires prior notification to consumers before any power interruption. Among those affected are some of the board members listed, the former chairman, the current MD. Now, PRC on March 18 directed the ECG to issue a load shedding timetable by April 2, which was blatantly flouted without an explanation.
Mm.
The commission's March 18 letter also demanded the ECG submit the total number of planned outages that it undertook between January and March. Now, the PRC in a letter yesterday, April 15, said its analysis of the data submitted showed that 4,142 outages were carried out within the period,
mm-hmm.
and that they did not comply with the requisite 3-day statutory notice,
powerful.
And there was no load shedding. So yes. they are fined the ECG board members. Mm-hmm. Now, the 9 board members have up to May 30 to pay the fine into a dedicated fuel account under the joint control of the Ministry of Energy and the Ministry of Finance. This is not easy.
Yes.
Now, the commission has determined that having regard to the nature of ECG's ownership and business, the imposition of the penalty of 5.8 million cedis to the on ECG as a company will be counterproductive.
Yes. We will have to pay.
As payment from ECG revenue would have to would have a rebounding adverse effect on quality of service. And therefore the board members.
Yes.
This is quite revolutionary.
Yeah, but it raises serious company law issues. I've not looked at
we don't care. You are the only one who understand those things. Now we don't care about any company law anything. There are people, you see, if you jail.
No, I agree, but I advocated here.
If you jail,
that the POC has got to impose fines on ECG.
So leave that company law matter. Leave it in a law school. We will take legal action, publish name of customers who owe us by May. Ghana Water is also joining the fray. Star FM. The Ghana Water Company is set to take legal action against customers who fail to fulfill their financial obligations by end of May. According to the company, they will have names. These are the right names of talkatives, including company names and amount owed. Published in the national dailies, we will need to take harsher steps. We are giving customers who are indebted to us up to the middle of May to settle their bills. If they fail, we will name and shame. This was said by Stanley Marty. And then finally, on that level, so read a story about the police to arrest drivers who charge. That story is a bit strange.
So that's on page 6 of the Daily Guide. And it says the Ministry of Transport has backed calls by the GPRTU and the Ghana Road Transport Coordinating Council for the public to disregard any purported increase in fares. It has therefore asked the Ghana Police and other security agencies to be on the lookout for any driver who charges illegal fares.
Okay.
The ministry in a statement indicated that negotiations were still ongoing with the transport operators to make a decision.
Well, there's a reaction to that. CityNewsroom.com, the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers, COPEC, has chided the Ministry of Transport via its directive to the police regarding the implementation of the new fare. You should check that in the law as well.
Okay.
Now, Dan Kanama of COPEC contends that the ministry cannot compel the unions to comply with the directive as it has failed to address underlying factors contributing to the alleged fare hike. Quote, the transport ministry has no basis in law to determine transport fares, especially in a deregulated market like we have, where the cost of fares is passed on and not regulated by government. The cost of insurance is simply added on year in, year out. The cost of fuel goes up as well, as and when the dollar goes up, as and when international market goes up, as and when taxes go up, your fuel prices are rising. Why is the transport ministry in all these discussions? And so we think the ministry should not arrogate unto itself constitutional powers that it does not have at present to even call for the arrest of any driver.
Okay.
You know, even if a driver goes against GPRTU, it's an association. You can't force me to comply. So I don't see the basis of saying they should arrest the driver. It's my car. I choose to charge something. You can decide not to sit in the car. You get me? So to come and say that a policeman should arrest me for charging a fare, it's like you are selling a shirt and I'm selling for 20 cedis. Then you say that you arrest me for selling for 20 cedis. I mean, economic laws are not, you don't use, you know, unless it's a specific regulation about pricing. For example, when you have a fixed foreign exchange market and then somebody goes against it, then you can go on economic sabotage. But if you have a deregulated market, you cannot tell a policeman to arrest a driver for charging a fare that his personal car is. I mean, there's no point in. You get my point? This is brinkmanship and showmanship, which will not lead anywhere. Deal with the fundamental causes of the rise in the price. The policeman himself is hot. Which man is he going to use? Well, but then he's the tire. Let's not go there. You know, let's deal with other stories.
Well, let's stay within that space quickly.
Finance Ministry.
I want to mention something quickly. Dualization of Chakradi, Aguna and Kwanta Road begins. And that story is in the Chronicle for today. If you go to page 8, quickly, two paragraphs from that story. Work has commenced on the reconstruction of the 23-kilometer Takradi Aguna and Kwanta Road into a dual carriageway. Now, the project, which has been awarded to Jasmo Construction Limited, also involves the construction of 4 other bridges and a number of culverts with funding from the GCB Bank PLC. It will be completed in 24 months, but could be extended based on additional work from...
Speaking of GCB, they said they don't owe the government. That story is on page 1 of the Chronicle.
Yeah, that's right. The details in the paper,
that's
the story,
down there.
Yeah, the story is on page 3. It says that our attention has been drawn to a publication in the Chronicle newspaper dated April 10, 2024, which seeks to suggest that GCB Bank also owes 2 billion Ghana cedis to the government of Ghana. Mm-hmm. Now, GCB Bank PLC wishes to state that the information carried on the front page and on pages 2, 3, and 7 on the said date of the Chronicle newspaper is incorrect, false, and misleading.
All right.
We acknowledge that the newspaper story is based on the proceedings of the Parliament of Ghana's Public Accounts Committee sitting on Monday, April 8, 2024, where the 2022 Auditor General report was,
so that was last
discussed.
Year.
Yeah. However, we can emphatically affirm that GCB Bank PLC is not indebted to the government.
Now, there's a story on the Daybreak that I think we need to clarify. Minister for Finance has stated that the government of Ghana and its external bondholders have reached an interim agreement in ongoing negotiations aimed at restructuring the country's debt. Now, the ministry disclosed this in a post on Monday, April 15, through his Twitter handle. Now, the finance ministry indicated that the agreement reached will still have to go through some fine-tuning to meet the target set under the IMF debt sustainability agreement.
Mm.
So it's not really accurate to say we've reached a deal.
Okay,
it's interesting. The deal is being worked on.
Mm.
All right, so you can say the deal has hit a snag which requires a new conversation.
Okay.
So the minister, for example, says that the deal has to be tweaked to meet IMF debt sustainability targets.
Okay.
And therefore, they will regroup to continue negotiations until they reach a deal. So you cannot be negotiating to reach a deal and say you reach the deal.
Okay.
You know, they haven't reached there yet. Okay. Maybe they can see the end, but they haven't reached yet.
Sure.
Still in that area.
Well, the front page of the Graphic Business says, the government says it is relying on taxes on the foreign income of resident Ghanaians to close the 1.8 billion cedi revenue gap created by the suspension of VAT. On electricity. This has become necessary to ensure the government meets its 2024 tax revenue target of 143.1 billion and budget deficit target of 5.9%.
Mm-hmm.
As part of measures to rake in more revenue, the government introduced the 15% VAT on electricity or residential electricity consumers, with former Finance Minister Ken Ofori-Atta in a letter dated January 1, 2024, directing the ECG NETCO to implement the tax.
But so now they are bringing this new tax. Now, meanwhile, finally, Professor Stephen Adey has urged Ghanaians to brace themselves for anticipated economic difficulties in 2025 and beyond.
I told you.
Professor Adey highlighted significant delays in government efforts to restructure debt as indicative of the hurdles ahead. His remarks were delivered during a media event organized by the Ghana Coalition in Accra, or the Grand Coalition in Accra, Monday, April 15, during his address, Professor Adey called upon aspiring political leaders to move away from making grandiose promises and instead focus on implementing practical strategies to navigate the nation through these turbulent times.
Okay. Based on that, let me just call on the parties in the Gimpa umpires.
What umpires is there again?
We are told that some people have been given extended contracts and it's creating...
But you know, we need to look at the tertiary front. There was a nice coronation of a VC for UEW last week. And I think there's some peace returning.
That's right.
So Gimpa should follow suit so that things will move well.
It's very
a few years ago, there was a lot of turmoil.
Yeah, that's right.
But things are calming down. So Gimpa, please.
We beg you,
You know, please restore what is left.
Yes.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
City Business News brought to you by Goyle and Access Bank. Nila Atilati is here with the news. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernard. Hello to you out there. Welcome to the breakfast edition of City Business News on 97.3 City FM. It's proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyle and Access Bank. Coming up this morning, NPA begins implementation of price floor for petroleum products. Today, also, analysts fear government may encounter more delays in reaching a deal with international bondholders. My name is Sneed Lati Lati. Many thanks indeed for joining us. The National Petroleum Authority, NPA, has today begun the implementation of the price floor for the downstream petroleum sector as outlined in the amended petroleum product pricing guidelines. The regulator postponed the rollout to the second pricing window of April to engage stakeholders further following objections raised by industry players, including energy think tanks like the Africa Center for Energy Policy, ACEP. These objections centered on concerns that the price floor would shortchange consumers of petroleum products. What City Business News has gathered is that the NPA has established an expand price floor for all petroleum products. That of petrol has been pegged at 13 cedis 2 per SUEZ. Diesel has been set at 13 cedis 7 per SUEZ. And for LPG, 10 cedis 52 per SUEZ beginning today, April 16. to April 30, 2024. What this price floor means is that oil marketing companies and liquefied petroleum gas firms are prohibited from pricing their product below the above specified thresholds. The MP has already said the price floors will not include the margins of petroleum service providers. Thus, these providers are free to determine their margins as they currently do and as anticipated under the price regulation policy. A Business Desk report. Now, finance lecturer at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Lord Mensah, believes government risk encountering more delays than it anticipates in striking a deal with international bondholders. The government is racing against time to reach a consensus between it and its international bondholders to enable it restructure some $13 billion in external debt. Ghana has been in formal talks with two groups holding its international bonds. The government says it has reached an interim agreement with these bondholders, but negotiations are still ongoing to arrive at an agreement consistent with IMF debt sustainability target. But Professor Lord Mensah tells City Business News there will be more dragging before the government makes any significant progress.
Looking at the diversity of these external creditors and how they can come to a point where they will agree on, particular terms with the country. From what I said, it will take some time. But as to the specificities in the time, I can't, tell you. But I know very well that clearly the more diverse your creditors are, the more the delay you can have in coming to an agreement with them in case of, debt problems. So that is far different from what we saw in the domestic debt restructuring and the negotiations that went on. Here, it's an external creditor. They also understand the investment, space very well. So you can't throw anything to them and they will accept it. And so I'm expecting more delay, but not necessarily giving you the specifics as to when, they will come into an agreement.
Professor Lord Mensah is an economist and finance lecturer at the University of Ghana Business School. Meantime, the IMF World Bank Spring Meeting is currently underway in Washington, D.C. after it was officially opened on Monday, April 15, 2024. Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam and Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Enes Adison, are leading Ghana's delegation to this year's Spring Meetings. Top on the agenda will be the discussion on the swift approval of Ghana's third tranche under the IMF bailout facility, that's the $360 million. It is also expected that the delegation will be having discussions with representatives of the country's two international bondholders. The meeting is expected to end come Friday, April 20, 2024. Away from that, and the business community remains worried about the repercussions of the depreciating Ghana cedi on operational expenses, with the cedi surpassing 13 Ghana cedis against its major counterpart. Businesses are facing a considerable challenge. The Pharmaceutical Importers and Wholesalers Association is among those expressing concern, highlighting the escalating difficulty in effective planning and budgeting due to the currency devaluation. In an interview with City Business News, the president of the association, Dr. William Edum Ado, stressed the pressing necessity for a more conducive business environment.
There's a fluctuation in the forex. Then, because of the exchange that we do, it affects imports. Clearing from the ports, trying to get the forex for the commodity, all affects the final price of the product. And it means that you need more cedis to do your work, which implies you need more money from the banks, higher interest rate. If the exchange rate goes up and the cost of business also goes up, then it gets to a point. You know, when the variation is just a little, then most of the businesses can absorb it. But when it goes beyond a certain limit, then it becomes more difficult to maintain prices. So I will plead with them to try to arrest the depreciation of the cedi.
That was President of the Pharmaceutical Importers and Wholesalers Association, Dr. William Edum Ado. Let me now take you to the Interbank Foreign Exchange Market, where banks trade amongst themselves. The dollar is selling at 12 cedis 99 pesos. It gained a peso. The British pound gained 3 pesos, selling at 16 cedis 21 pesos. The euro gained 1 peso and it's selling at 13 cedis 84 pesos. However, as some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling at 13 cedis 40 pesos, while the British pound could be sold to you at 16 cedis 60 pesos. That of the euro going for 14 cedis 30 pesos. Now, the Bank of Ghana says there are ongoing discussions among relevant authorities to address concerns regarding unauthorized deductions on mobile money transfers. This development arises from growing concerns surrounding duplicative fees imposed by banks and mobile money agents during fund transfers from personal bank account to personal mobile money wallet. The central bank has clarified that transfers made between oneself, whether across different wallets or into various bank accounts, should not incur any charges. However, charges may apply only when the transfer involves a third party. Dr. Ernest Addison is governor of the Bank of Ghana. He says regulatory efforts are underway to ensure fair and transparent practices in the financial ecosystem.
To my understanding, you're doing this for yourself, right? There are really no charges. I think that it's where there are third-party individuals involved that these charges come into play. And it's something that we have raised in the past. It's an area that we are looking at because of the issue of financial inclusion. It's very important for all of us. And especially this issue of interoperability, which has become very key to improve financial inclusion. We have to make a choice, right, of maximizing revenue or promoting financial inclusion. Now, the policy discourse is even on the issue of cross-border interoperability.
Dr. Ernest Addison is governor of the Bank of Ghana. Now, the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PRC, has imposed a heavy fine of 5,886,000 Ghana cedis on members of the Electricity Company of Ghana Board who served from January 1 to March 18, 2024. This penalty was imposed due to the infringement of Regulation 39 of LI 2413, which mandates prior notification to consumers before any power interruption. Notable individuals affected by this fine include Kelly Gajipo, who resigned as board chair on March 26, and the current ECG MD Samuel Dubik Maham. The PRC issued a letter on March 18 instructing the ECG to publish a load shedding timetable by April 2, 2024. However, this directive was blatantly disregarded without any explanation. Furthermore, the Commission's letter demanded that the ECG provides further details on the total number of planned outages conducted between January and March 2024. And that's it for the breakfast edition of City Business News, which was live on 97.3 City FM. It was proudly brought to you by MTN Girl and Access Bank. My name is Nilati Lati. Do have a good business day.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
All right, so 12 minutes past 7, City Breakfast Show. The Public Utility Regulatory Commission, beyond asking EC to give us a timetable for Doomsday, which they have not done, has now decided to fine ECG. They basically had 163 instances of non-compliance. They multiplied that by 3,000 penalty units and came up to 5.8 million cedis. Now they're asking the directors of ECG to pay that fine. Now, what do you think? Because they're saying if ECG as a company pays, it means that it will still affect their business. So it's you paying. So they want the board members and the MD to pay for failing to give us a Doomsday timetable.
Yeah.
And for also failing to notify us before turning our power off. I think it's a great thing.
Mm.
I think his PRS is doing well. I know some lawyer will come and argue something, but you know, you know. So it's funny. Today we have two legal issues. On one hand, the Transport Ministry is saying that if a driver charges so-called unapproved fare,
yep,
the police should arrest the driver. Yeah. Which I think is preposterous.
It is?
Please, there's a police. Because, that's fair enough
because I mean, the police will not be at this, the where the thing will be happening.
How many, even if they were there,
If I'm it's my car.
Yeah.
You can't force me to
but,
charge.
But you know it's already happening though.
My point, so that's was, my point. So it's just, I think it's just an announcement to pretend to be doing something.
Okay.
But the PRC one, I agree. That ECG board members must pay the fine. They must give us the timetable. They must pay the fine. I know Sky will kind of argue some legal things, but Charlie, please, lawyers, help me to finish him today. Because he's going to do some legal gymnastics. I know it's this guy. You can't say, hey, come pay the law.
We'll bring out some.
Yeah, they can do some legal gymnastics that the body corporate is not the same as the individual, something, something, something. Charlie, this law thing, self. So ECG, board members and MD, pay the 5.8 million and give us the timetable. Because last night, when I shared my point of view artwork with some of my friends, they said, bro, I'm in Dumo.
Yeah.
A lot of them said they were in doom. You know, people who are living Oyarifa, Kaswa,
the East Legon,
Malam,
yeah.
Those Bawishos areas, they were all in doom. And they didn't know they were going to be in doom. You know, so ECG, Charlie, you gotta, you know. Now, business news was brought to us by Access Bank. Now, call them on 0800-004-400. Access Bank is now partnering with the PAPS to send in money across borders. We're talking Nigeria, Gambia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. You can also go to ghana.accessbankplc.com for more information. And of course, Goal PLC also proud to be associated with the City Business News. Look out for our auto gas stations at Brema Camp, Peshi, Kenton Krono in Kumasi, in Pentin, in Takradi, or Pedu Junction in Cape Coast. Goal, good energy. And of course, Kickoff is brought to us by Lesheho. The Lesheho Fixed Deposit Solution is your best option if you want to power up your finances and unlock your path to prosperity. With Lesheho's Fixed Deposit Solution, you're not just investing, you're making your money work harder for you. Call 027-004-0799 or send WhatsApp on 027-004-0733. Lesheho, let's improve life. So Gabby Ofeh has nothing to say about my team.
Yeah, yeah. Today Liverpool.
No. Just mention your...
Thursday, Atlanta. We'll get into that in a bit. But, of course, it's Tuesday, April 16th. Good morning, everyone. Welcome aboard. My name is Gabby Ofeh, and I've got the very latest in the world of sports coming up. It's at Champions League night. It's at two venues in the second leg of the quarterfinals. We'll get to build up to that games. And then look ahead to this.
Ball is touching the spot, if not on it. Jackson's on his haunches. Palmer's picked himself up and he's buried the penalty into the bottom corner to make it 5-0 to Chelsea. And Palmer's got four of them. That's why he takes the penalties, folks.
Yes, so that's the man on everyone's lips. Cole Palmer on 20 goals for Chelsea this season, tied with Manchester City's Erlen Haaland. But of course, Chelsea's win got marred by that penalty drama between Nicolas Jackson and Nonny Madueke. Mauricio Pochettino has been speaking on the incident. A lot plus some results from the Ghana Premier League. Okay, we start off with boxing, and Ghana's boxing team have received approval from the Sports Ministry and the Ghana Olympic Committee to participate in the final Olympic qualifier in Bangkok, Thailand, scheduled for May 22 to June 2, 2024. Now, Dr. Onela Sathud, a middleweight boxer based in the United States, will join six other members of the Black Bombers team for the upcoming tournament. Now, despite participating in the two previous qualifiers, Ghana is yet to secure its first boxing slot for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. So all the best to the boxers will be looking to qualify for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. We start with boxing, and Coach Carl Loco is the trainer for John Lai, and he's highly confident in Lai's potential for a remarkable boxing career as he makes his transition to compete in the United States. Now, Lai, under the management of his team, Peter Khan, a fight game advisors, is poised to unlock numerous opportunities, including vying for world titles. Now, just 23 years old, Lai is set to step up into the ring against an opponent yet to be disclosed on May 31 in the USA.
We are happy that he's advancing to the boxing world, talking about the sticks, the US. Yes, he's ready. He turned professional at the age of 18 years. And with the years that we have waited or groomed him till today, should tell you the transition or the grooming aspect have been great or is great. So being African champion two times and being having a lot of fights over here, definitely this is the right time for him to go to the US. If really we have the intention of making him a world champion, this is the right time for us to take him there to know the next step or to know, whatever we are putting in him and the results of whatever we want him to become.
All right, so that's Coach Carl Loco. He's speaking ahead of John Lai's bout in the United States of America. Now let's do some football. And our former goalkeeper for Accra Great Olympics, Akole Lai, challenges the notion that the quality of the Ghana Premier League has declined recently. Now as the league currently led by Samatex 1996 progresses into week 27 with anticipated fixtures, Lai expressed his views during an event titled Honoring the Fathers, and he emphasized the importance of local players having a chance to play alongside foreign-based players in the Black Stars, believing it would elevate their confidence levels.
Our time, it was very competitive. This time around, it's the same, but compared to ours, the challenge was very big because football is now has changed. They are now all professionals, so it has changed. That's a little bit about what I can say about our time. It was very, very difficult. Well, let me tell you, our time, this time, if you go to training, they will give you water. Our time, there's no water. You play for 19 minutes before they give you water. You see, but things are changing. Yeah, we hope for the best. But my advice is they have to use the local players to join the national team. You see, names also are hard in football. When us are playing Kotoko, and then us have about two players in the national team, to bring crowd to come and see. Kotoko have about two, three players in the national team. Bofakwa has. What is he? The national team players will call the supporters from home to come and watch the match.
All right, so now let's talk about the Ghana Premier League. In Accra, Lions secured a 2-0 victory against Ibiani Gold Stars to conclude match day 26 of the local league. Goals from Yahya Mohamed and Kwame Awuni, and each helped seal the crucial win for Lions at the Accra Sports Stadium. The win propels Accra Lions to a fifth position on the league table, drawing level on points with defending champions Medeama in fourth place. Here's Ibrahim Tanko after the game.
And very good points for us, looking at where we climbed at the table. I think the boys did very well. I mean, we create a lot of chances, and then winning 2-0 against Bibiani is a very good result for us.
You must be worried that you are creating and playing exciting football, but you are not clinical enough up front.
Yes, I think it's true, but I mean, scoring two goals against a tough club like Bibiani is not an easy job. Yeah, definitely we are going to keep on working till we keep on scoring. Yeah.
All right, so the Accra Lions head coach Ibrahim Tanko speaking after their 2-0 win at the Accra Sports Stadium over Bibiani Gold Stars. Now to the English Premier League, and Chelsea boss Mauricio Pochettino says he was so upset about a dispute over who will take the penalty in their 6-0 win over Everton and has warned his players not to do it again. Now, Nicholas Jackson and Noni Madueke argued over who would take a spot kick before Cole Palmer, Chelsea's regular taker, scored his fourth goal for the Blues.
I think after we need to talk about the game because it was a fantastic game. But first of all, I want to tell you that to make clear that they know, the player knows, the staff know, the club know, that the taker is on penalties is Cole Palmer. All that happened after is a shame. I am so upset about the situation. We were talking on the dressing room about the image that we sent to the, because it's Monday night, you know, football, and I said in every single country they were watching the game, and we cannot send this type of image. It's a shame. I want to apologize to the football people and our fans because that is unacceptable, and the discipline is the most important thing on the team.
All right, so that's Chelsea boss Mauricio Pochettino and yesterday's drama at Stamford Bridge. Well, it was Palmer's second home hat-trick in a row, having scored a 100-minute penalty in a 4-3 win over Manchester United earlier this month. Still on the penalty drama between Nico Jackson and Noni Madueke, former England striker Cole Carlton had this to say.
It just shows you how they got petulant kids in that dressing room. Like, they're not on the same page, are they?
Nah.
When you went out for a game, you look at the board, the whiteboard, and you see who's on set pieces. Yeah? It's clear as day. Unless Pochettino doesn't do that. I don't know if he's done that
because look, Bill, our producer tonight.
Well, he's not a good organizer.
Said it's happened 3-4 times this season.
Well, he's not a good organizer then, because it doesn't matter what score it is. Yeah, it doesn't say on the board. If you get a hat trick, you'll pass it on to the next man. Yeah. It doesn't work like that.
All right, interesting thoughts by former England striker Cole Carlton on Nico Jackson and Noni Madueke's incident yesterday at Stamford Bridge. Well, enough of the Premier League. Let's get to the UEFA Champions League. A place in the semi-finals is on the line. It's Barcelona taking on PSG later tonight. And leading 3-2 on aggregate, Barca will be hoping to progress to the semi-finals. At the same time, Borussia Dortmund will be taking on Atletico Madrid. And for Dortmund, they've lost 3 of their last 5. And both of their last 2 Champions League meetings with Atletico. Atletico, on the other hand, are hoping to reach the last 4 of the Champions League for the 4th time under manager Diego Simeone. But here's Edin Terzic, Dortmund manager, on creating a hostile atmosphere for the Spanish side.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best places in the world of football that we want to use. But for that, we need a good performance, and for that we're going to get the support for 90 minutes or even 120 minutes, whatever is needed. We knew that last week. It's also not easy to play against Atletico in their home stadium, and last week they had the advantage, and we wanted to carry a good result to get the advantage for a home game night, and we are quite sure that our supporters want to create a great atmosphere to make it happen, and we want to pay back with a good performance.
All right, so that's Edin Terzic, he's a Borussia Dortmund manager, speaking of their tie against Atletico Madrid. More build up later on Sport Flash at 5 p.m. And that's it for kickoff. My name is Gabriel Fair. Kickoff is proudly brought to you by Shell and LaShell. For more sports stories, you can head to citysportsonline.com. Enjoy the rest of your day. Do take care of yourself and bye bye.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
Cadbury Real Choco is now available in a new pack. You would love the fresh new look. It's a vibe. Choco supports the energy to keep you going. Kickstart your day the Ghanaian way, wherever the day will take you, with a cup of delicious, creamy, smooth Rechoco. Cadbury Rechoco. Rich taste, rich identity. This advert is FDA approved.
ICC X West Africa 2024. Platinum sponsors Gassam Limited and Kedah Shaw Maker. Gold sponsors Germany Trade and Invest and MC Bar Semi Ghana Limited. Technology partner Siemens Ghana Limited. Financial partner Bank of Africa Ghana Limited. ICC X West Africa 2024 is organized by Ad Media GmbH in collaboration with the Delegation of German Industry and Commerce in Ghana. See you on the 16th and 17th of April at the Grand Arena, Accra, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Dave.
gentlemen, get ready for the first Edinkra International Arts and Craft Show in Ghana. Organized by the Ghana Export Promotion Authority, GEPA, this 10-day festival will be a celebration of functional arts and crafts, home decorations, jewelry and textiles, with export forums on the sidelines. Date, 26th April to 5th May 2024. Venue, Papaye Recreational Center, Ibiri. Time, 10 a.m. each day. Get ready to immerse yourself in a world of creativity and culture, surrounded by the breathtaking beauty of Ibiri.
To register as an exhibitor, kindly visit gepafairs.org or call +233 24470 6112 or +233 20 955 6525. Edinkra International Arts and Crafts Show. See you there.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we are committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 1.3 kg Sadia whole frozen chicken, only 59 cedis, 99 pesos. And 1 liter Coca-Cola, Fanta and Sprite, just 12 cedis, 99 pesos each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Prices valid until 21st April, only at ShopRite.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.
Yeah. I remember I used to call you back then in the late nights. I used to be a good girl, but everything just changed now. I feel me friend will cry on fire. Last time when a boy be a becker, eh, maybe girl. Cause I never came on me, I'm a leg. Oh, yeah. Tonight, I can tell you something. Don't rush, baby, take your time. All I want was to give you love. All I want was to make you smile. You are the sweetest girl, but now you move dangerous. Now you change so serious. Whoa, hey. Call you don't pick up, but I'm still late night. Girl, you day online, eh? Me dreaming who I girl, I know the bop. My dreaming who saw me, I know the bop. No, why you go do me like that?
Girl, why you do me like that?
Why you go do me like that?
Oh, no, no, no,
yeah. Tonight, I can tell you something. Don't rush, baby, take your time. All I want was to give you love. All I want was to make you smile. You are the sweetest girl, but now you move dangerous. Now you change so serious. Me say I feel what's the sun, too bad you, baby girl, man, so sun. Right, what's you, baby girl, don't see sun. Too bad you, you didn't make man super. Yeah, me say they know what's the sun, too bad you, baby girl, man, so sun. Right, what's you, baby girl, man, so sun. Too bad you, baby girl, man, so sun.
City Breakfast Show. Couple of requests coming through on the morning program.
I know that I did you wrong. Nansu me dem say I got the money change. Nansu my patch, Nansu me don't see what I mean.
Benny for a bum, must it be? And number for a bum, must it be? Now I saw for a bum,
I read to my brother Michael Avle, who works with Farmerline. Today is your birthday. Enjoy your day. The Lord bless you. He's also a member of the First Love Church. First Love Church of the United Denominations of Lighthouse. So some people call him Pastor Michael. You know, just like your brother is a good musician, right. He's also a great keyboardist.
I think I've met him.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah, that says a lot.
You know, call him Session. You know, he defined the whole Session agenda. So his nickname is Session. So happy birthday to you, my brother. We have a few more ones, quick ones to do as well. Bernard, this is from Emmanuela Trum and your daughter Emisewa Bonsua Trum at Tema Community 8 Cooperative. Happy birthday to my adorable wife. The mercy of the Lord located me when I met you. Thank you for blessing my household with a beautiful and graceful heart of love. Wow. And my wife, may God increase you from grace to grace. May all your prayers and wishes come to pass in Jesus' name. This is to Mrs. Louisa Nana Araba Atram, to Emmy Sewa Bonsu Atram. Also wishing the MD of Global Space Engineering, Mr. Neil Lante Hayward Mills, a glorious happy birthday. You are welcome to the fourth floor, sir, and may God satisfy you with long life to continue with your good works. I'm sure where this one came from.
Yeah.
Because I sent it earlier, you know, and the name is not... Anyway, so, but I'm sure he
it's
knows.
No thing, but...
So, Neil Lante Hayward Mills, happy 40th to you.
Nice.
Now there's a message. There's a message here that I know you can identify with.
Okay.
It's about the Doom Sub. But before that, happy birthday to Kofi Uwa, partner risk advisory at Deloitte, and William Akwa of the finance department of Deloitte. This is from Daniel Kojo Usu, country manager of Deloitte and all staff. I don't know if I'm reading this well. So Kofi Uwa, your partner risk and advisory at Deloitte. William Akwa is at the finance department of the same organization. Daniel Kojo Usu is wishing you a happy birthday. All right, guys, listen to this one that came in.
Sure.
Okay, here's another one before. Help me wish CEO of Pacific Projects Limited a happy belated birthday. From 2012 to 2018, Institutional Banking, Oil and Gas team of Access Bank. We will always be family. We love you, Kweku Jaba. Cheers to many more years. So, yeah, so you used to be at Access Bank. You are now the CEO of Pacific Projects Limited. So happy birthday to you, coming in from Fatih and the team that used to be there. Hi, Bernard and team.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, the Doomsaw, they kill me off.
Mm.
Got home from work tired yesterday, only to see Doomsaw at work. The lights never came on, even as at the time I left home for work this morning. I had to shower 4 times in the night, as I couldn't stand the heat. In fact, I couldn't sleep throughout the night. It would have been better if I had attended a watch night service somewhere. I know this is going to affect my productivity today. I feel stressed. I feel bassa. I live around 7 Great Princes Academy in Dansoman, and my name is Eben. Eben, hey. Yesterday, I was watching the... So yesterday, when I sent my point of view artwork to Engineer Mahama, he said... Oh, Aloski, I can't watch it because I'm in Doom. So send me... Oh, I think he said something to the effect of Doom or something.
Yeah.
So he's waiting keenly for the show. Then I went on his status. Then he started listing the places that are... that have Doom so on his profile. Right? So this is Ketsi Engineer Mahama. According to him, the following places had Doom as of the time my show was airing. So he says... First, it starts with Doom. Insawam is off. Damfa is off. Amrahia is off. This is Oyarifa is off.
Everywhere.
I don't know how you knew. Fan Milk Awoshi, Doom. Race Course, Doom. Nathan, I know that place very well.
Oh yeah.
Ablekuma, Doom. Taifa Burkina.
Off.
Doom. It looks like Akusi.
Everywhere.
Doom.
Kwabinya, off.
Odoko.
Ashoma, off.
Doom.
Yeah.
Adeiso. I think he was driving. Kasua. So Engineer Mahama listed all these places so he can work with us on a load shedding timetable, since he has all the information. Engineer Mahama, good morning to you. I hope you watched the show and I hope you enjoyed it. All right, now the big story is that the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission has fined the ECG, and this is a different kind of fine. They fined the ECG 5.8 million CDs. They calculated this by 3,000 penalty units multiplied by 168. All right, and then they decided that instead of applying the fine to the company, they would apply it to the board and the management. Or the board, which includes the managing director. And then this was for people who were on the board between 1st March and end of March. Now, this is quite new.
Yeah.
Because from what the lawyers are telling me, and Sky explains it nicely, he says there's a general provision for running companies. So the directors of the company, again, if I'm wrong, you correct me, are not to be held liable for the offense of the company unless there's a specific provision to say that. So, for example, you were saying to me that when it comes to the Bank of Ghana Act, there's a clear provision that says that if a director of a bank does certain things, he can be held liable, because I think it's Act 930, Section 103, right? It says the Bank of Ghana can hold board members and senior management of the bank, or even SDIs, which is specialized deposit institutions, personally liable, and can penalize them to pay penalties. All right. So this is a specific section of Act 930. All right, but your point is that the company law generally, what a company does, because a company is not a natural person, from what you people say, right? So this is a new situation, which is why if you read the PRC carefully, I think they were trying to justify, I don't know if you have that, I think when they imposed the fine, they were trying to then justify why they were imposing the fine.
Yeah. The commission established from its analysis of data submitted by ECG that there were 4,142 outages to consumers within ECG's operational areas between January and March 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this number, 165, representing 3.98% of the total outages, mm-hmm. were ECG planned outages.
Mm-hmm.
Further analysis showed that mm-hmm. of the 165 ECG planned outages,
mm-hmm.
40 were supported by public notices,
mm-hmm.
while there were no notices for the remaining 125 outages. Mm-hmm. Further, 38 of the 40 notices did not comply with the request requisite 3-day statutory notice prescribed under Regulation 39 of LI 2413.
Mm-hmm.
This indicates that in 163 instances of plant outages, ECG did not comply with the laws. Mm-hmm. Now, the regulator indicated it is imposing 3,000 penalty units on ECG for each breach it committed in its defiance of complying with the timetable directive. Mm-hmm. It added that the fine be imposed on ECG's board members due to ownership structure. Quote, mm-hmm. for failure to comply with the 3-day statutory notice required under Regulation 39 of LI 2413,
mm-hmm.
the commission, in accordance with Regulation 45 of LI 2413, hereby imposes a regulatory charge of 3,000 penalty units on the ECG for each of the 163 breaches, amounting to 5,868,000 Ghana cedis.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say the commission has determined
mm-hmm.
that having regard to the nature of ECG's ownership and business,
mm-hmm.
the imposition of the penalty of 5,868,000 Ghana cedis on ECG would be counterproductive,
mm-hmm.
as payment from ECG's revenue would have a rebounding adverse effect on quality of service
the money now they don't
and
get.
Consumers who pay tariffs to the company.
So therefore, they are saying that the board and members of ECG should pay. We'll deal with that legally shortly. Now, I want us to treat that at the same time as we treat the Transport Ministry. Sky, follow me? Because the Transport Ministry too is saying something that's in some way. They are saying that, Charlie, they are negotiating with GPRT on new transport fares. And therefore, any driver who imposes a fare that has not been approved, the police will catch them. The police will catch the person. It's not like the Transport Ministry has a task force, so they are directing the police to catch, you know, to catch the person. Well, I'll deal with those two legal issues. But there are a few more birthdays here.
Yes,
today's a birthday of a guy I really, really, I'm liking. our GGA president. He's called Albert Jumfo. I like his spirit. You know, I like his approach to the work. You know, I like his approach to the work. So today's his birthday.
Okay.
He's clearly working in the interest of journalists. Mm. He's clearly committed to the cause of safety of journalists. And he doesn't shrink when it comes to standing up for journalists. Mm. And I think that's what GGA president should do.
Yeah.
He's using all the tools at his disposal. Mm. Sometimes he'll bring the other groups in, Primpag, Giba, hold press conferences, boycotts. Albert Jumfo, Charlie.
Yeah, man.
Keep it up. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you, solid, Mr. President.
Solid cry, yes, Charlie.
I mean, he's a former student of Gimpa, by the way.
Is it? Are you that desperate?
No, I'm not. I'm just.
Sharing.
So yes, happy birthday to fellow Gibson. That's all I'm trying to say.
When did you become Gibson's?
What's your problem? We have always been.
I'm not even sure he's aware of the association.
What do you mean by that? He was at the launch.
Was he at the launch? Okay. We just start mentioning all his associations.
This is a relevant one.
This one is relevant. No,
we need to set up a Gimpa revamping committee.
Because they are revamping. It looks like he's not vamping.
Yes. Any other dedication? Okay, so this one says, can you help me with my wife?
No, the Gibson.
I meet Delassie,
hey.
A diehard City fan. Happy birthday.
I meet Delassie.
Yes.
I mean,
Revival Choir.
Yes, they are
Henry
right.
Sister.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Wow. Yeah. Ami.
Yes.
You, from us with love. It's coming in from Senna.
Yes.
And then Selikem.
We'll sponsor her to Gimpa.
Maybe so.
We'll make her Gimson.
And this one said, good morning, Team City. Can I wish my darling husband, Mr. Joseph Obla,
uh-huh.
a happy birthday. Cheers to another year of growing in strength, wisdom, and love. The kids and I feel so blessed to have you in our lives. We love you so much.
Yeah.
Mm, beautiful one.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the whole story.
you are missing.
Oh my God. 7:45, City Breakfast Show. In a world where dreams are the driving force, a company stands out as the hope of transformation. Zonda Ghana Limited.
Mm-hmm.
We are your one-stop shop for quality trucks. Now, we have trucks like Shantui bulldozers, excavators, graders,
thank you,
payloaders, rollers.
Yes.
Poya pickups,
sharp
TX trucks, and oil tanks, all made and assembled right here in Ghana. At Zonda Ghana, we do not only create opportunity and empower people, but we also provide top-notch after-sales service for all your heavy-duty and light-duty trucks and machinery. Now, we are off the Tema Flower Road, close to the Free Zones Enclave, Tema. Call 0501-77-222. That's 0501-772-222 or 0501-77-333. Zonda. Built in Ghana.
Yes.
Building Ghana.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Better
the Shantui one is for mining, eh?
No, so that issue, it is Sky who brought that problem to us on City. There was a discussion about something, and I think there was an approval that was required. And then the name of the guy is Amadou Sorogo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he was trying to explain something. And we couldn't get the bottom of that, so I'll bring it to you later. But you tell me about the other one.
When I just doom so back, are you paying too much for electricity?
Yes.
Is your business crumbling because of the high cost of unreliable power and constant increase in electricity tariffs? Then get a world-class tried and tested solar solution from Ghana's number one solar company, Translight Solar Limited, at very affordable prices. With Translight Solar Systems, you save on the cost of electricity and get consistent supply of power. Translight Solar inverters and lithium-ion batteries work with the sun to provide reliable power at a cheaper cost for your home and business. Install a system from Translight Solar and enjoy uninterrupted power supply. Locate us at 98 Boundary Road, East Legon, in between ARS and American House at the White House bus stop. Call us on 0504-249-229 or 0206-542-454 or visit www.translightsolar.com for early bird deals. Reach us via email at orhinr@translightsolar.com. Wherever there is sunlight, there is Translight.
Now continue to save extra 30,000 CDs when you purchase the VW Tijuana or Space. Drive Ghana, drive Volkswagen. Hurry while stocks last. T's and C's apply. Contact VW Ghana now on 025-795-6688. And if you want water that's quality, water that tastes just right, Standard Water is your brand. Over 25 years of experience, that's what they have. And they are in 11 regions and expanding. So call them on 020-0202055703 or 0547-334-385. And it doesn't matter what your need is. Sachet bottled water for your dispenser or customized water for that party or special occasion. Now, if you are searching for the perfect blend of comfort, convenience, and community, then look no further than Alphabet City, the premium gated community located at Sakumono. Alphabet City has luxurious 2 and 3 bedroom apartments designed to cater to all your needs. When looking for a place to settle down or a property to invest in, Alphabet City is the ideal blend of luxury, comfort, and community. Schedule a tour of your future home by calling 0240-111119. Alphabet City, the AB Home Sweet Home.
And whether you're an importer, exporter, or involved in any form of international trade, Bank of Africa is here to provide all the needed support to make all your cross-border trade transactions seamless. With presence in over 30 countries across Africa, Asia, North America, and Europe, we are well positioned to provide advisory and financial support to you. We provide tailor-made trade finance solutions such as warehousing, financing, discounting of receivables, avalized bills, local and offshore guarantees, remittances of export proceeds across the Wemu region, and many more. So call us on 0302-429-333 or 0302-249-690 or visit any of our branches nationwide, and let's do business together. You can also visit our website or social media pages for more information. Bank of Africa, the African bank with global reach. Bank of Africa, as strong as a group, as close as a partner.
And you know, gentlemen, for me, this is not personal, right? There are people on the ECG board I know, but for me, yesterday, sat in my office as I prepared for the point of view. So I got to Tesano around 10:30.
Yeah.
And I had to be on air. Nathan, I can count at least 6 or 7 times that the light went off. Probably more than 8 times. Mm. So you're sitting there and the light just goes off. And then everything goes off. Everything has to restart.
Yeah.
And then it comes back on. And then it goes off again after maybe 45 minutes. Then it comes back on. It was constant. Right? And this is not even doom. So this is basically just, I don't know whether it's current, that's low, but this is damaging.
Outages,
you know, because my fridge, I don't know who deceived me. I went to buy some fridge and he said to me that the fridge, you know, it doesn't need what's the name of that thing,
fridge guard,
because he said this one is inbuilt. So me too, I said, you have heard some fridge, proper fridge. Now because of the way the light is gone on and off, it's malfunctioning.
Oh no,
you get me. So, and this is at home, by the way, but this one was in the office. Almost, I don't know, every hour the light went off. Between 10:30 that I sat there till 4 p.m., the light went off not less than 6 or 7 times. I mean, why should, just from a purely natural justice point of view, the people who work at ECG should pay. It shouldn't be the, because, you get me, if the company is fined 6 billion CDs, they will just impose it as a cost. So it will either affect their bottom line or they'll add it to their tariff or whatever. The people should know. And particularly for the offenses, you see, if you look at the offenses listed are many. They were asked to do specific things.
Yes.
Now, Sky, give me, hear me out on this. The cash waterfall mechanism has been agreed by the cash waterfall committee to prevent the type of debt overhang that leads to more tariffs.
Yeah.
The energy sector debts are a potential threat to the whole economy. So cash waterfall basically says, look, somebody generates the power, transmits it, and gives it to a distributor. The distributor faces the customer and sells to the customer, whether bulk or individual customer. The distributor must make sure they collect money. Now, when you collect the money, in order to prevent you from thinking that the money is your personal property, there's a cash waterfall mechanism which has a ratio and determines who must get what. Because if ECG gets 100 million, they can say, well, we have a 150 million CD hole to fill. So we'll use all the 100 million to do our own things. But that doesn't work because if you don't pay Greco some, Greco cannot have the transmission working. If you don't pay VRA, Greco, VRA, do you understand? You have to pay Tico and all these people. So the cash automatic mechanism is put in place by everybody else. Now, you have not put the money in as the cash automatic mechanism says you should do. PRC directed you to do this. You did it for some time, but you don't finish doing it. So that's issue number one. Number two, you are supposed to give people prior notice if you are going to put up their light. You refuse to do it. Now, I understand that ECD can say, when it comes to certain levels of outage, Gridco has to tell us that they are taking power off, which is why when you read the ECG's recent, I don't know if you have one of the ECG's recent notices, they will basically say, Gridco has put the power off, and therefore we've put your power off. Okay, so I don't know why they're trying to shield themselves. Because if you look at the PLC directive, they're saying, give people notice before you put off their light. So that's point number two. They didn't do it. Then number three, give people a timetable by April the 2nd. They didn't do it. They didn't even submit any information on that. You get it? So from that perspective, unless an unplanned outage, so unless ECG is saying that all the outages that were experienced were unplanned and therefore they couldn't have known. All right, but by failing, and by the way, they have adhered to almost all. PU has given like 12 directives, they've adhered to most of it. But the most critical ones, cash waterfall, notice of light off, and then low shedding timetable, which are the most critical to us, they didn't comply. So PRC says, I'm going to multiply the penalty units by the instances you didn't tell the people, and I'm going to fine you 5.8 million. Okay. Now, ECG's financial position is at the heart of every discussion about the power sector. So making ECG as a corporate body pay is counterproductive because they will say, oh, by the way, we have a 5.8 million CD hole, which has been occasioned by the fine, and therefore we are going to put more power off. Do you understand my point? Mm-hmm. So from a logical point of view, let the directors pay. Right. It's a bit harsh because they are working for the country. In a way, you can say public service, like at that level, board member of ECG, yes, they are paid, but it's also a public service, right? But the PRC is doing what it has to do. So it's up to ECG to say, the directors to say, well, we can absolve ourselves because maybe if you look at the instance where we took power off, 90% of the time it was Greco who didn't tell us. Do you understand me? They have to come up with some specific defense. But failing that, I think they should pay. Now, I don't know if you found the ECG latest announcement that they gave about the light that was going off. Just if you can read the wording, very
there was one that had an infographic that was explaining how things work, but there was another that was saying that they had cut to Mobole. It says the Electricity Company of Ghana Limited, Tema Region, wishes to inform our cherished customers and the general public that the Ghana Grid Company Limited, Gridco, has curtailed power supply to our Mobole bulk supply point, resulting in outages in the following areas. Afienya, the quarry is Christian International School, Ochebreku, Okushibri, Jerusalem, Apollonia City, Katamanso, Promised Land, Elegant Homes, Data. So about more than 30 communities. So ECG wishes to assure all affected customers that once Gridco turns on supply,
listen to the language,
power will be restored. ECG regrets the inconvenience caused to the affected customers.
Guys, just put off your law hat and wear a communication hat for a minute. The ECG wishes to inform our cherished customers and general public that Gridco has curtailed power supply to our Mobile Box supply point, resulting in an outage in the following areas, at least 30 areas. ECG wishes to assure all affected customers that once Gridco turns on supply, power shall be restored. Is that the way it's supposed to be written?
So it is shifting liability or responsibility elsewhere, in this case to Gridco.
Is that a defense in the case of the question that PURC asked them to? So is ECG using this language to try and say that the power cut is not our fault, it's from Gridco?
Yeah, so, you know, because customers have a contract, not with Gridco. They have a contract with, what do you call it?
ECG.
ECG. Now, so when the blame comes after a power outage, the blame is directed at ECG. Now, in this particular case, ECG, my respectful view, is seeking to tell the consumer, or the power user, now look, yes, there's a power outage in this area, but it is not our fault. It is because we do not have the power to supply to you in the first place. And therefore, if anything at all, Gridco is supposed to be the person you should direct your anger at. But strictly speaking, even regardless of what they say in this, if I want to hold somebody responsible for the power outage in my area, whether it is Gridco that has put it off or not, or VRA that has not produced the power, I will hold ECG responsible because I have signed a contract with them. Many of us are on prepaid meters. We have paid the money in advance. That, and the expectation, the legitimate expectation we have is that you will supply the power when we need it. In this particular case, they've not supplied it, and they are saying that, please, Gridco is to blame. So it is just basically to...
Now, let me go to what the PURC asked them to do. And then you can deal with the legal issues when we come back after 8. So PURC gave a lot of orders. One, tariff revenue allocation. Comply with the cash waterfall mechanism through payment of allocation of tariff revenues as prescribed by the CWM. That's under the rubric of tariff revenue allocation. Then, provision of regulatory audit data. Submit copies of all government directives to ECG for the purchase of fuel for power generated from August 2023 to date. Still under that, submit total amount of fuel ECG procured for power generation within that period. Submit details of all bank accounts and investment accounts currently operated by ECG. Monthly bank and investment statements corresponding to each account showing balance for the period. Now, they complied with the first, so they didn't comply with the cash waterfall. They complied with the government directive one, complied with the total amount of fuel ECG procured, but did not comply with the one on submission of details of all bank accounts and monthly bank statements. And then, information related to operational matters. Detailed incident reports of power outages for the period January 1, 2024 to date. They complied. Volume of load curtailed for each power outage incident, energy not served, and number of customer affected segregated into customer divisions. They complied. Copies of cost ECG publications informing the general public of power outages. They didn't comply. You see, so you are supposed to submit copies of your publications informing the public of your outages. They didn't comply. Then the final one is submission of information related to outages attributed by ECG to the so-called 630 overload transformer. So this is what the problem is. They brought about this 630 transformer matter.
They claimed.
That's what they claimed. So now they are saying, number one, you must provide ratings and current loadings of all overloaded distribution transformers. They complied. Provide GPS location of all overload distribution transformers. They complied. Rating of new transformers to be installed in each location. They followed suit. Timelines and duration for injection of transformers for each location. They complied. The two big elephants.
Load management timetable.
Corresponding with the timelines and duration for each transformer injection. Because you said transformer matter. You didn't say any Gridco in it. You see. So now to now issue a statement say Gridco has taken power. I think PRC will say it's my back case. They didn't comply. Evidence of publication of 2.3E, which is published in the newspapers. This load shedding timetable not complied. So Gridco PRC is punishing them for four violations: the cash waterfall mechanism, details of bank accounts, and then publication informing the general public about power outages, and then the load shedding timetable they did not bring. Let's bring you tech and social media trends, and then we'll deal with the issue of whether the board members of ECG can say they won't pay, or whether they have to go to court to say that they are different from the company. Very interesting legal times we are, you know. Or whether they should share that 5.8 million for those of us who have lost our fridges. So that I'll use some to rebuy the fridge.
So you see, you have remedy under the PURC Act.
For the fridge matter?
Yes. So, you know, ideally I shouldn't be providing you legal
advice. Oh, provide me, my friend.
No, but
so what should I do?
But you should file a complaint
to PURC.
At PURC, they would investigate the complaint, and where there is evidence that there's a direct link
between my fridge,
between your fridge getting spoiled and the power outages you complain about, appropriate sanctions be applied, and the fridge would have to be refilled.
But you see, the principle that I will have my fridge, so is it easy to buy the fridge for me?
Yes, it's easy. They will be fine.
As a company.
Yes.
Not the guy who turns the light off.
No.
Tech and social media trends brought to us by
FBN Bank. What if I told you that first things first, that the letter A always comes way before the letter B, and that the letter B always comes way before the letter N? What if I told you that at FBN Bank, our goal is to put you, our cherished customer, first? What if I told you that our financial services offer the gold standard of value and excellence, that our products and services have been designed just for you? What if I told you that you deserve the finer things of life, and banking is no exception? Wouldn't this interest you enough to bank with us? When you think of a bank that cares and puts its customers first, put the B before the N. Think FBN Bank. FBN Bank, you first.
All right, so Nathan will tell us what's trending this morning. Go ahead.
All righty. Let's start off with, since we are talking ECG, hashtag Doomsaw is trending. Last night, dear Charlie, they no be easy give some people. Hey! All over the place. Yeah. All over the place. Yeah. People didn't have electricity. And the power went out approximately between 6:30 and 7. So some had their power going out at 6:30, others soon after that. But by 7, then everybody make fine. Everybody was in darkness.
It was a lot.
Yes. Yeah. In line with that, Ameri is also trending. Yesterday, remember the news story? Yes, Ameri to Kumasi, and there's a back and forth. Ben Boache of ASAP he put out a few tweets or a few posts a few days ago.
That thing that's costing 34 million.
Yes, you know, essentially saying that he did not agree with the move. To some sporting news, and Chelsea last night, they enjoyed, they feasted, they had a buffet.
Everything will do against Chelsea. And when they beat Liverpool, they will play as if their life depends on it.
That is a derby.
Nonsense, people.
So they lost. Everton lost 6-0 to Chelsea. It was the Copama show. Copama scored
the fastest hat trick I've seen,
bro.
Only Sadio Mane had the
fastest. Yeah. So it was Robbie Fowler and then Sadio Mane. But this was quick.
Charlie.
Then the hat trick.
The guy is good.
He's brilliant. I think he now has an automatic spot in England's team for the Euro. So Chelsea won. But the subplot had to do with the penalty in the second half. Now, it turns out... It turns out... Did you see the video of the players bickering?
They're fighting for the ball. Yeah, but that's what players do. They all won the ball.
Yeah, so, but you see, what is the rule? The standing rule is what? Palmer, once he's on the pitch, should take penalty.
He has scored plenty. It's okay.
But you see, so the rule... So it lets
one,
say,
one man no chop. Oh, it's a principle in that. You know, so, he has to apply to football too. One man... Why can't he score all the goals? He's the only person with legs.
So... Noni Madueke is training because he was the central figure.
How many ball
in that
his behavior?
It's not his behavior. One man will chop. Right. To chop everything,
bro. Anyway,
not good.
To some politics, and the name Nana Kwame Bediakun is trending.
Okay,
Cheddar or Freedom Jacob
Caesar.
Now he's put out a 3.5 minute video. Now a few days ago he was on TV3, I believe, talking about the fact he said he was going to buy back the country. That's what he said.
Okay.
Now in that video he seeks to explain the comments, and he says the comments were taken out of context by two portals. One Ghana Web, the other Pulse Ghana. He's lambasting them for their poor journalism work.
So he's still on the media.
He's still Charlie, your man.
I also heard he gives his tigers cows or something.
Charlie.
He gives them
three cows.
Cheddar for the win.
He said he feeds them a cow a week or something.
Yeah, the new force. The new force.
Maybe they buy the beef and cut it to pieces.
You know, the new force. So
the tigers are growing.
And the tigers, what are they doing in his house exactly?
He's keeping them company. As pets.
Oh, company.
Anyway, to some tech news, and Apple's the business people at Apple will look at the spreadsheets and not be too happy because the smartphone company sales tumbled last quarter, according to market research firm IDC.
Okay.
As sales in China fell sharply. The company has lost momentum in China as nationalism, a rough economy, and increased competition have hurt Apple over the past
few Americans
months.
Are banning TikTok, why do Chinese buy Apple?
So now, you know, for
they will buy their own phone.
Yeah, for the past 12 years, Samsung had been the top smartphone manufacturer. Apple took the crown last year, only to lose it back after one quarter.
Quick.
Samsung fought back and took back
their
spot.
Even in this studio, there are two Apples. Wait,
what's the there are four Apples and one Samsung.
Apple.
You use what?
Apple.
There are four Apples and one Samsung.
I also use Apple.
Yeah.
You also me, I have a Samsung. This Apple was a gift.
But then there's an orange behind you.
I haven't used my money to buy Apple yet.
So yeah, so basically this report is just saying
and
Apple
very good. techno
yeah,
phones.
They are. They
very
are,
good.
They
are, yeah.
So that's that.
Huawei. They are mafia in Huawei.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huawei
yeah. too. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Huawei too is dealing with them.
So if Chinese people say they won't buy American phones, can we survive?
Well, then there's a trade war, full blown.
Yeah, because the way they are treating Huawei and also treating...
And on the side, like I said the other day, there's also a war over microchips.
Yeah.
The manufacture and supply of microchips.
Taiwan
so
at the center of it. Huh?
Yes.
You remember
yes.
there was a Taiwan time Intel was such a huge
brand. Yes, and I think they got hit with, was it the antitrust? I'm not too sure. But Intel used to dominate. So really, Apple sales in China really, you know, struggling.
Apple sales in Ghana, who's tracking that?
We'll have to find out who is buying what. Sometimes. But maybe from a cursory glance, you can tell a lot of people lean more towards
and you know the funny thing, but the iPhone.
Because it looks like a status
they didn't
symbol.
They buy it from abroad.
Yeah, they
and they put it in their bag and bring. So you don't even know that they bought Apple. So it doesn't even record. It's not like they manufacture. Like they have Apple shops here. But I think that the number of Apples here are understated. Because a lot of people go abroad and buy it and bring it. And then it doesn't get recorded as a Ghana.
Yes. Ghana and then also, just in... You know, on this Apple sale thing, the AI thing is also worrying Apple because a lot of the manufacturers, so Samsung and others, they've already jumped head first into the AI thing. Apple is now trying to enter.
Yeah, I mean, Nana.
Charlie.
They should help this guy. You help them.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Life of Gabun to name planning would assume Osanku Nisika would it be an end. And can you go to Kuya Sawatra and there who need generator not just a one more bra? I'm not sure. I didn't put my Yedibisra or mine as Simoja and sing or Bawaya bra. Never tell me to your position. I'm a cash. I'm a cash. I come over fast and the water so far back. More than more politics and the facts, not the beer. Cost of Cossian support the hack. My company, me more than I could jam a bill. Light in his engine, I'm so simple as in the hills. I dream of mushy shimmy timmy dam and dammy dimmy tito kept us so cramming for pills. Fishing harbor for waka. Now my fridge mama. Titi badness is complaining. Now carpent our waka. Doom swada koroma and a patasona yada.
So the PRC has fined ECG. By the way, somebody is saying that my views on the police. So yes, let me just read a nuance myself. Bernard, your comment. Okay, let me read it first. Bernard. Unless I didn't get your argument right, the idea that drivers are monotonous is wrong. Unless you're saying arresting them is not the solution. All right. So, I'm saying that arresting them is not the solution. You cannot, and there's no law that gives the police the right to arrest drivers for charging a fee. All right. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know Sky will deal with that. If the driver is misbehaving in terms of causing public disorder or something, that's different. But if a driver says Madina to Kumasi is 50 cedis, if you don't want to, just come out of the car. But don't arrest him. I don't see where you can force somebody to arrest somebody for charging.
Yeah,
but let's deal with the first matter. Now, Sky, you were trying to say... Okay, no, Nathan.
Let Nathan should tell us.
Okay, Nathan, go ahead.
You know, let me just read this message. Now, tie it to this.
Wonderful.
Now, this one says, can you assist me to ask ECG Kwabinya Domi Taifa? Mm-hmm. Oh, in Kuchuemi. Mm-hmm. Says, the crime we have committed, that warrants power going off for almost every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It went off yesterday at 6:48 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
15th April.
Mm-hmm.
It's yet to be restored 7:37 p.m. on the 16th of April.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that they don't respect us or they think we don't deserve any explanations as customers?
That's TT from TT in from Taifa.
Now,
thank you, TT.
I the reason why I read this message, if you go through the PURC's document, mm-hmm. point 3-4,
mm-hmm.
outages attributed by ECG to 630 overloaded transformers. Mm-hmm. Now, this was the ECG's reason as to why we were experiencing on-off, pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says, analysis of the data submitted, mm-hmm. into brackets, by the ECG, mm-hmm. I'm adding that,
yeah.
that out of the 715 transformer details submitted, 31 were loaded less than 70%.
All right.
595, mm-hmm. were loaded between 70 and 100%,
uh-huh.
and 89 were loaded above 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the data submitted by ECG was further compared, mm-hmm. to the total outage data provided by the ECG for the same period,
what?
January to March 18, 2024. Now, this is the juicy part. The commission established, mm-hmm. that 647 outage incidents occurred between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Out of these outage incidents, only three,
yes,
were planned outages relating to transformers.
Oh, Charlie.
The analysis showed that the majority of the outages between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. were as a result of load management operations by GridCo and faults unrelated to overloaded transformers.
Wait, oh. PURC is saying that, mm-hmm. analyzing the data ECG submitted, no?
Mm-hmm.
This transformer matter, only three.
Out of 600, what?
Only three.
So basically, they are saying ECG is lying.
It says ECG's attribution of the outages between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. due to transformer overload was therefore not factually accurate.
Mm.
Wow.
The causes of these outages are the subject of investigations already being undertaken by the commission.
So, wait, how many of the transformers had the overload or more than 100%?
Well, the ECG...
You're ready.
Yes, 630. So they said 630 overloaded transformers. And okay. then the PURC went through the data.
Only three.
Compared it to the previous times. And they noticed that only three were planned.
Charlie. So the ECG did not tell the truth. Or they didn't think PURC would check.
Or they did not tell the whole truth.
Pascal, I think, again, mm-hmm. we should be happy that institutions, some institutions are working.
Of course.
I think the PURC has been consistent. Because, Sky, in the face of, if you listen to the kind of things the energy minister has said and that type of political intolerance for a doomsday timetable,
mm-hmm.
and how sensitive it is for the PURC, and by the way, PURC is not just one person, all right? And I feel like when you look at things like PURC, mm-hmm. they present the model for how to manage public institutions. Why am I saying this? Look at the members of the PURC. You have Ismail Ejekum Hine, who is an energy consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Ebo Quigrin, who is the chairman, a very accomplished gentleman,
mm-hmm.
who will not be pushed around. Dr. Ishmaelaka is a CEO. Of course, we know Ishmaelaka. He's built his knowledge in the energy sector.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Dora Opong, Mr. Patrick Nyaku, Dr. Yao Edu Jemfi, mm-hmm. Professor Joe Amwakutufo, highly respected economist,
mm-hmm.
and then Dr. Kwabena Nyankwotu, mm-hmm. who's the TUC rep on the PURC.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, these people are not necessarily beholden to some political person to tell them what to do. You follow me? So they are doing a professional job.
Yeah.
That's why if you listen to the thing Nathan is reading, they are not joking there.
Mm-hmm.
So, regulators, we are happy with PRC today, the way they are dealing with ECG. But you said it's a small legal matter. Small legal matter.
Yeah, so...
Small, not big. Very small.
Yeah, the very...
So don't shout. Let's take it small.
Okay, so listeners, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed this matter of ECG and mm-hmm. how they are failing to comply with the PURC directive. Mm-hmm. And I drew your attention to the fact that under the law, the PURC has the authority where utility failed to comply with the provision, mm-hmm. its directives,
uh-huh.
To impose fines.
Mm-hmm.
And you would remember that in that conversation, I expressed the view that the PURC has got to impose those fines. Except I had said that, maybe when it is imposed, ultimately it would affect the quality of service to us or we, the customer, mm-hmm. because we would have to pay the bills ultimately and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not dispute that the PURC has the authority to deal with ECG and related utilities where they misbehave.
Mm-hmm.
The only difficulty I have is the suggestion that it is the directors of the company that must pay the fine.
Mm-hmm.
That for me, there's a legal difficulty with it, and I would express my respectful view. Bernard, as a general principle of law, companies do not act in vacuum. They act on the basis of directions provided by law and the people managing the company.
Good.
And the law is that where companies act in breach of certain provisions in appropriate cases, that is the general law. The directing minds of the company, these are the directors, the people in influential positions as to decide what the company does and does not do. They shall be held responsible. Now, it's a UK legal principle that was first laid down firmly by Lord Denning. Somehow, we have also, as a company, a country, incorporated that provision in our company law. So, for instance, if you go to the New Company Act, Companies Act 2019, Act 992, if you go to Section 199, civil liabilities for breach of duty. For instance, this is one of the provisions. It says, where director commits a breach of duty under Section 190 to 192A, the director and any other person who knowingly participated in the breach are liable to compensate the company for the loss the company suffers as a result of the breach. B, the director shall account to the company for a profit made by the director as a result of the breach. And C, a contract or any other transaction entered into between the director and the company in breach of that duty may be rescinded by the company. So this is just one of the provisions dealing with how a director of a company can be held personally liable for decisions he makes which affect the fortunes of the company.
So you are saying that the Companies Act in some instances can hold directors liable for some specific things.
Exactly.
But not for everything.
Not for everything.
Can you read that one again? I just want to. Is this only one instance or there are many instances?
No, there are a number of instances, but in terms of civil liabilities for breach of duty. So the Act tells us the duties of a director.
Okay.
So the board of directors of companies, there are specific duties imposed on you.
Yeah, but so I'm like that. It means you are helping me. So when a director commits a breach of duty under Section 190 to 192, one, the director and any other person who knowingly participated in the breach and are liable to compensate the company for the loss the company suffers as a result of the breach. The director shall account to the company for the profit made by the director as a result.
Those are not particular. The first one is what
so breach of duty.
Yeah, that is properly engaged. Now, what is the duty of the ECG?
Provide reliable, accessible, and available power
to all of us,
to customers
who have properly engaged their services under the law.
Wonderful.
Now the PURC finds that they have not been doing that properly, and they issued specific directives under the PURC legislation.
Cash waterfall mechanism, the accounts that you have, how much fuel you used to buy, how much money you used to buy fuel, how much fuel you bought, schedule of when you would put off power, and notices that you announced that you were going to put off power, about six different
things. Exactly. Now, it was expected under the law that the directors of the company will act to conform with the directive as issued by the PURC. And of course, the managing director and who actually are the people who operationalize the decisions of the board will carry out the instructions as given by the board. Now, on the facts as given us by the PURC, the ECG failed to comply because we heard the Minister of State say that, look, it is not necessary. The people who are asking for a timetable, they should go and do it and bring it to us. In any event, they are wishing evil for the country. So that's one. We have seen the fight ECG is having with the GRIDCO over this particular matter. But the point is that ECG, regardless of the arguments that have been made by everybody that we need a timetable, they have failed to comply.
Good.
Now, PURC is invoking its authority under the Act to impose a fine.
On ECG.
On ECG.
Yes.
As a matter of law, strictly speaking, they have the authority under the Act and the regulations to do that.
So far, so good.
And which I commend them for.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. The only problem I have is that the idea that they would impose personal liability at this stage on the directors. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a principle in law known as specialibus. What's the provision?
Generalis specialibus.
Yeah, that's right. It's a whole lot. Let me pronounce it.
It says much study is weariness to the flesh.
It's generalia specialibus non derogant.
Generalia specialibus non derogant.
Now, general things do not derogate from specific things. That's basically the meaning of it. So, for instance, if there is a specific provision dealing with a matter,
you don't use a general.
Don't apply a general provision of law. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, the Companies Act is the general provision that deals with how companies operate in our country.
Okay.
Of course, there are also specific provisions in it.
Yes.
But the specific law that regulates what happens within the utility sector is the PURC and how you know it regulates the space.
Yes.
Now, if you look closely at the PURC Act, my respectful view is that there is no provision there in both the regulations and then the Act itself, the parent Act, empowering the PURC to impose personal liability on directors for breach of their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Section 38 of that Act, the provision says that where there is summary conviction of maybe a company or the person responsible for that, then that liability can be imposed. Let me go to
so
that.
Where is summary conviction?
Summary conviction.
Which then means it has to be by a court.
Exactly. So it is a court of law that would have to hear the matter at a summary trial and then decide that on the facts, Director A acted in breach of the law as laid down by Parliament.
The PURC Act does prescribe personal liability when it is the court that is imposing a fine.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Now, what powers does the PURC as a commission have in regulating utilities?
Okay.
Can it impose fines on its own or does it have to go through court?
No, as they can impose a fine on their own.
Good. So can you not say that, borrowing from the fact that that thing you just read in 38, which is almost like a sentencing guideline, which is telling the court that when somebody is found liable of a certain breach, they can be convicted and then the director made to pay. Can the PURC not say we are borrowing from that principle in applying our fine, that in the same way that that 38 says that when you are convicting the director, they are personally liable for whatever they did. We can also use that principle in our fine to also impose the fine on the director because we are not a court. So that 38 doesn't apply to us as directors. But we are saying that the mindset of the law, Section 38, which in sentencing or a summary conviction, so when you talk conviction, talking about court.
Yeah.
So they are borrowing, and I'm saying that if that 38 had been specific to say the company as a non-natural person will pay the fine, then the directors can say, well, we cannot then move and let the directors pay. But to the extent that that particular provision allows for personal liability, you can transpose that. And by the way, they also give a reason in their judgment. The reason was that if they impose the fine on the company, because the specific offense, if ECG had just engaged in an unethical offense, which had nothing to do with their bottom line and which had nothing to do with provision of power, then you can say impose a fine on the company. But PRC, based on the thing Nathan read, PRC has not given us power and they are not even accounting for the cash waterfall mechanism.
ECG, you mean?
ECG. So what ECG is dealing with, money is part of it. So if you impose 5.8 million fine on ECG as a company, you are deepening them in the red. Okay, so what they did was that they chose to then, I don't want to use the word, arrogate to themselves the power to impose. But basically they were saying that the reasonable thing to do, because Ghanaians are already struggling with power supply, which PURC is trying to solve. Fining ECG is counterproductive to the objective of power supply to the people. The only way to still impose the fine in a way that will not be injurious to the public is for the directors to pay. So that's the logic I'm bringing. It may not be legal, but it's logical.
You see, I understand your point. But you see, procedure is everything. So in my respectful view, if the people who are supposed to suffer the penalty speak to their lawyers, I'm sure they know what to do in the circumstances. Mm-hmm. But you see, that is where, as people interested in how the country is governed, mm-hmm. I'm raising this issue. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, if you look at the Companies Act, there's an express provision that dealing with duties breached by the director and how to deal with it.
But can we not say that in borrowing that Companies Act, section 190, mm-hmm. can we not say that the directors have breached their duty of being responsive to the PURC and of being, because don't forget, the PURC asked them for information which did not supply.
Yes.
And the Companies Act is a general law.
Yeah, 199.
Does say that in some instances, directors are held liable.
Yeah, that's right. When they breach their duty. So, in this case, if the facts lead anybody to conclude that there is a breach of director's duty, and it would seem that when the directive was issued, they have not complied as a company.
But they have not.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In that case, then you impose the fine on the company, right? And let the company take steps to seek compensation from the directors, to ask the directors to pay for it. Do you understand?
Who is the company?
The company is a company. Like it's a legal personality on its own.
But how can the company, without people, seek for compensation from the directors? Uh-huh. The people directing the company?
So that is why under the PURC Act, under Section 38, if you look at subsection F, there is an express provision there saying that, let me read that for
38.
You.
We all have it too.
In which case, it is the job of the Attorney General to protect our interests and prosecute. So let me go to Section 38 of the Act so that it will help our listeners to understand what exactly I'm trying to say. So offenses and penalties. A public utility, let me go to straight to F. A public utility, is it F? okay, it's actually J. Which fails or refuses to answer a question relevant to a matter which is the subject of investigation before the commission, commits an offense. There are some other provisions upwards.
Mm-hmm.
And is liable on summary conviction to a fine not exceeding 500 penalty units. And in default of payment,
mm-hmm.
in default, so where they fail to pay, the principal officer or the secretary of the public utility is liable to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 2 years. Do you understand?
So your point is that when the sentence is given, if the company does not pay, then director pays.
The director.
So it's not a direct charge on a director.
Uh-huh. So my position is that if the act wanted to hold directors of the company personally liable in cases of breach which lead to imposition of fines, the act would have said so expressly. The only time that the act actually talks about personal liability mm-hmm. is where you are prosecuting because the company failed to do so, ECG failed to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, where ECG fails to pay, the director shall be personally held liable.
So you're saying that if ECG fails to pay the fine,
uh-huh.
so a fine that has been placed on the ECG,
yes.
but the PURC, so in this case, they place the fine on
the director directly. And I'm saying that in my respectful view, I have serious regard for the people who are managing PURC. I respect them. But I'm saying that on this particular matter, I fail to see where in the act they have the authority to personally hold directors.
Can we not turn your question around?
Mm.
Because you said if the law or if the act had wanted them to be personally liable, it would have said so.
Yeah.
We can also say that if the act had contemplated that they should not be held liable, it should have explicitly said so.
No, that's
because the act didn't say that.
No, that's
and I'm saying that if you borrow from the sentence the thing you just read, it gives it. In fact, when you read the 38 thing, mm-hmm. you read the bottom. So 38,
mm-hmm.
there's a certain thing where they said the directors shall be made to pay if they mm-hmm. fail to supply information.
Yes.
It's direct. Mm-hmm. That conviction goes to the directors, mm-hmm. not to the company.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So I think it's a question of emphasis.
No, you see, the reason it is not a question, it's a question of law.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a power to do something. When you do it, you have acted in excess of legal regime. Okay. Right?
So from what you're saying, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, so per the law and maybe per procedure,
in my respectful view,
should the PURC have fined the ECG and say, ECG, you have not gone according to the dictates we set out, so we are slapping on ECG.
Uh-huh. But in the specific case, they have to leave this veil of incorporation because... ECG as a body is not in a... They say we have to look at the context, not just
the
context is that, number one, you have not abided by the cash waterfall mechanism.
Yes.
You are supposed to even provide information on your financials, your bank statements. Some of that you did not do.
Mm-hmm.
You have giving people light out without giving them a schedule.
A schedule, yes. Mm-hmm.
So your service level is unsatisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
Not unconnected to your finances.
That's true.
Okay.
So if I'm going to fine the company 5.8 million CDs,
uh-huh.
I'm going to worsen the company's financial situation.
Uh-huh.
And by so doing, worsen the customer service they are giving to me.
Aha.
Yes.
Do you understand? So PRC is reasoning that it is justified to lift that veil, and they believe that if they go to... So what I'm saying is that the fine holds until a director says, let me go to court to challenge it.
Okay.
Okay. If they go to court to challenge... So I am saying that the fine, they should pay it, and unless one of them is advised by his court lawyer to say, no, don't pay this fine.
That's
and
good.
Say that you are not liable. Okay, so I don't think the PRC is in violation. What the PRC has done is they've given reason for lifting the veil. And I think a court must decide whether there was justifiable reason for lifting that veil. Because you yourself read to me in Act 992. You are saying that the company, you don't forget, you made a general point. You said that when there's a specific rule, the general does not apply. And I'm saying that even the general contemplates situations where the people are held personally liable.
Yeah.
So it means that the general is not necessarily opposed to people being held personally liable, but there has to be some specific conditions.
Exactly. Yes, I mean,
so
like,
I'm saying
like
that,
fraud,
so listen to my argument.
Illegalities.
I'm not saying Sky is wrong. If I am the lawyer for Kelly Gajepo or Dubik, I will argue what Sky is arguing because that's possible to argue. But I'm saying that if I sit in the chair of PRC, the reasoning for what they did, I think if a judge takes everything together, he takes the company's law, he takes the constitution, he takes the LI, he takes the constitutional, the act, and then he reads the PRC sentence.
I think it would be very understandable.
You agree with them. You agree with them. Because I think there has to be a justifiable reason to lifting that veil. To the extent that if you find the company, don't forget, we are doing all this in the public interest.
Of
you see,
course.
It's the public utility. So if it was just some private matter, it's not the same.
Yes.
You cannot find a company on its knees to pay money. It's almost like when people say, why is it that when MTN or Vodafone or somebody does something to me and then NCA finds them, they don't give me the money. They just take the money.
Bernard.
Do you get me? So I am saying that we are not necessarily disagreeing. What we are basically saying is a question of angle. My angle is that let the PURC fine hold and let a director who feels violated go to court.
You are saying
don't jump and do what a legal a court must do. Do what you are explicitly asked to do. And if we need to do fine of the people, let the attorney general or court. And I'm saying that in the public interest, that doesn't make sense.
Bernard, you see, in the public interest, it makes sense because we are regulated or governed by laws. Let me help.
But what the PRC has done is not unlawful.
It's unlawful to the extent it is an opposition in my respect.
No, you see, don't forget.
On the director.
Sky.
Because,
it's not wholly unlawful.
Oh, hold on.
You are saying, see, don't forget. You see, I'm coming. When you say it's unlawful, let's take our time. PRC have a right to regulate the company.
They have done so.
They have just gone, in your view,
in excess
beyond
of
their
authority.
Good, and you are saying that you are not even disagreeing with finding ECG.
Yes, I don't.
You are disagreeing with the lifting of the veil.
Yes,
and I'm saying that lifting of the veil is not an illegal act. That lifting of the veil is an act that must be. It's like discretion to.
No,
exercise.
Bernard, you see,
you cannot.
No, you see, Bernard, institutions are given the authority to act within limited scope. Anytime you act in excess of requirement, you are deemed not to have the jurisdiction to do what you did. And it is a very important matter. It is just like, for instance, a court has the power to hear certain types of cases. And it goes outside the authority to hear a matter it does not have the authority to deal with. In that case, a higher court or a higher appellate body will strike it down and say, no, you don't have the authority to do. So everything you did, it's unlawful. In this case, let me take you to Section 32 of the PURC Act. It says that where an offence under this Act or the regulation is committed by a body corporate,
You're reading the Act,
yeah, that's
not
right
the regulation.
Yeah,
the Act,
read, yeah,
Act 508.
Yeah, that's right.
Hold on, testing what?
Act 538,
Section 42.
Yeah. Where an offense under this act or regulations is committed by a body corporate or by a member of a partnership
or firm
or firm, other firm, the director,
every
director or officer of that body corporate or a member of the partnership or other person concerned with the management of the public utility commits that offense. Right. And A, is liable on conviction, I'll underline that, on conviction, to a fine not exceeding 500 penalty units for the offense. And B, is liable in addition to the payment of compensation for a damage resulting from the breach. Now, 2 says a person shall not be convicted under subsection 1 where it is provided to the satisfaction of the High Court. That, so they give you the basis.
Due diligence.
A, that due diligence was exercised to secure compliance with the provisions of the act. And B, that the offense was committed without the knowledge, consent.
Hold on. No problem. Mm-hmm. Now, come to 38.
Yes. No, hold on. I just want to explain something before we go to 38.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the framers of the law knew that there will come a time where directors would have been acting in a way that undermines the interests of a utility service provider. And in that case, they have made a special provision here under 42 that where those things happen, it is possible to impose personal liability on the directors. But the authority to do that is not vested in the PURC.
I'm coming on.
Instead, it is vested in the High Court of the Republic.
So what I wanted you to do for me was, let's go to the
38.
The powers of the commission.
Yeah.
Because what power does the commission have there?
Oh, the functions, if you go to 40, for instance, they talk about how to enforce their directives. So obstruction.
Because when you come to 38, they now list offenses of the utility. Offenses and penalties.
By body of persons.
Yes, a public utility which fails to do a number of things. And when you come to J or I fails or refuses to prepare and submit to the commission within a specified time period provided by or under an act or return of information. Basically, information required to be furnished by or under this act or directed to be furnished by the board. My point is, are you saying that the commission only has powers to direct, and when the directions are not followed, they need to go to court?
No. They have the authority. So if you go to...
So we need to know. Is this in enforcement? The
regulations? Yeah. No, it's here in the... Let me take you to the relevant...
Because we need to know what the powers of the commission are there.
Yeah, regulations. So let me take you to the relevant provision on what the...
48.
Is it 48? Let me see.
The board may, by legislative instrument, make regulations that it considers necessary for the implementation of this act. 2, without prejudice to subsection 1, the regulation may provide for procedure for submission
of
complaints.
Let me take you to that. It's section 32. Enforcement of decisions of the board.
Thank you.
Where the board, whether before or after an investigation, makes a decision or gives a direction requiring a person to do or desist from doing an act, and there is failure on the part of that person to comply with the decision of the or direction within a specified period or within a reasonable time, the commission may apply to the High Court for the enforcement of the decision.
So it means they have to use a court.
So that's why I'm saying that they have the authority to do specific things, right? In my respectful view, I know they mean well for the country, and I support what they are doing. I'm just saying that impose the fine on ECG and let ECG invoke company law.
ECG invoke that thing. ECG is not a natural person.
No, it's not a natural, but
the company secretary should now charge the
board. They should take appropriate, they should seek appropriate remedy against the director, because in that case, in my respectful view, there would have been people.
So the company should say that the directors and the MD should pay.
Yeah. Or
who will say that? Ghana, is there any company without the directors and the MD?
No,
so
you see, there are criminal law components of the law.
Let's
talk
to Ismail Jakum here.
In that case,
yes,
the Attorney General protects our interests, and it is expected that because he is minded by the public interest, or so we assume, he would act in...
All right, let's talk to Ismail Jakum here. So as I said, the PURC has a number of people chaired by Ismail Akka, but Ismail Ejekumhene, I know him. He used to be at Kite. I don't know if he's still there, but he's an energy guy. He's a member of the board. He's agreed to speak to us. Mr. Ejekumhene, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernard. I'm still with Kite. I'm still
wonderful.
Wonderful. It's good to have you. So, look, I am excited at what you guys are doing, right? And we've followed the process of you writing to ECG, making specific demands, and they complying with some and not complying with others. But we've also seen your decision to impose a fine and how you calculated a fine, 5.8 million. We understand the reasoning for that. The main issue we don't know how to resolve is whether you had the justification to apply the fine to the directors instead of the company as a body corporate. What was the reasoning behind the PULC going beyond the company to impose this specific fine on the directors?
Okay, Bena, let me greet your listeners and your viewers. First and foremost, the PURC acted on advice from the legal department, and we were advised that there are legal precedents to what we are trying to do. The main rationale, and I think that is also contained in the order, you see, every cost incurred by ECG, once it's legitimate, would have to find its way back into the tariff. Okay. So if we find a company, let's say 10 million, and they pay as a fine, they can find a nice way of disguising that cost. And when they are submitting their, when they are asked to submit their request for tariffs, it can find its way there as an operating expense. All operating expenses are, once we allow it, they are supposed to be passed through the tariff. So the commission said that, okay, we're not going to do that, because if we did that, it can find its way back into the tariff. And we're not going to be able to control how it gets back into the tariff. So we were advised by the legal team that it's possible to attach the fine to the management and also the board. So that's the import of that side. We didn't want the whatever fine once paid to be reintroduced into the tariff. And two, we've been advised that there's a legal precedent to what we are attempting to do.
Did the idea of going through a high court come up in the discussion? Because if you go to 32 of your act, it talks about enforcement of your decisions, and it's very explicit where it says that where the board, whether before or after an investigation, makes a decision or gives a direction requiring a person to do or desist from doing an act, and there's failure on the part of that person to comply with the direction or decision within a specified period or within a reasonable time, the commission may... So it's not shall, it says may, apply to the High Court for the enforcement of the decision or direction. So it appears the law is inviting you to use the court if your direction is not followed, which appears to be what the ECG has refused to do. I don't know whether that came up at all, and whether the issue of time and court process came up, for which reason you went the direct route.
Okay, so you also see that we all quote the relevant provisions of the Act that upon which we were imposing the fine. I think the fine was the next logical step for the Commission. We will get to that bridge if depending on how ECG responds to this latest order. But yes, we are aware of that provision, and I guess the court is the final arbiter when it comes to disputes. So we decided as a commission to impose this fine. And mind you, this is not going to be the first fine. That you recall that when the issue with the prepaid metering and people were not able to buy power, and with at least since I've been on the board, there are a number of fines that ECG have. They paid, so I hope this time around too they will comply with the order. But if not, I believe the legal department will advise the commission appropriately.
When we read your decision, we noticed you emphasize a lot on the 600 and something transformers. Are we to understand that
The original reason ECG gave for the outages was overloaded transformers, for which you were holding them accountable. I'm asking this because when you read ECG's recent public announcements, they seem to be blaming power outage on Gridco taking power off certain bulk supply points. But I noticed that in your sort of your analysis and your judgment, you kept referring to the transformers. So just clarify for us, did the ECG give those overloaded transformers as the original basis for the power outages, for which you stuck to that throughout your judgment?
Yeah, so, Bernard, when you, according to our law, when you give wrong or false information to the commission, it's an offense, okay? We were all in this country when we had the managing director of ECG saying that there were 630 transformers that were overloaded. It came to the regulator as a surprise because we are in constant touch with all the utilities that we regulate. So during a periodic monitoring and all the reports that ECG submits to the commission, they never mentioned that. So it came to the commission as a surprise. So when the managing director puts out this information, we immediately said, okay, please tell us where these transformers are, and so that we can go and double check. And if it's true that these transformers are overloaded, then let us know your plan for addressing the overload, in which case let us know your timetable for how you're going to manage that load deficiency, because if the transformers are overloaded and you're going to take down transformers, that planned outages, so you should be able to tell us. So we were just following up on an information that ECG itself had put into the public domain, which the regulator wasn't aware. So when we wrote to the ECG, if that wasn't the case, they could probably have said that that wasn't the case. But they gave us all the information. And we've actually spent time going to all the transformers, or at least the majority of the transformers. And it is turning out to be that those transformers are not overloaded. So if for any reason the problem is Gridco telling, because that's what Gridco itself said, that they give instructions and ECG is not complying with those directives in a timeous manner. So sometimes the whole system is on the verge of collapsing and all of that. But ECG never denied the information that their MD put out.
All right. But Ismail, that's correct. But the other question is, if Gridco is the one giving ECG information about possible outages, why shouldn't Gridco just give us a timetable? Because, for example, if you take power off a particular bulk supply point, we know that there are specific communities at that bulk supply point, which both Gridco and ECG know. So why should it be ECG's job to make that announcement? Once Gridco is taking power off the bulk supply point at, say, I don't know, what's the name of one? Whatever.
Achimota. Or Malam. Yeah.
Or Malam. We know the communities under Malam. So once the power is going to go off the bulk supply point, Gridco should be in a position to tell us, unless the amount of power coming to the supply point is just a little lower than regular, for which then there has to be management. We need to understand whose responsibility. Is it ECG or Gridco? Or must they jointly issue the schedule?
You see, Bernard, it's a good question that you're asking, but I'm sure we are not new to this issue in this country, and we've always known. You know, between you and I don't. You know, you don't have any contract with Gridco. You, as a consumer of electricity, you don't have any direct contract. It's ECG buys the product from Gridco and supplies it. So, consistently, it's ECG who will have to tell the public that, look, Gridco, which is the entity giving me power, said that it can only give me 70%. So because of that, I think from today, tomorrow, these are the places where we may have to shut the thing down. We have our own issue with Gridco. But let's see Gridco this way. I mean, it so happened that Gridco happens to be the system operator. But elsewhere, you can have the transmission companies, not necessarily the system operator. So somebody sits in the middle and sees the bigger picture and said, look, we need X amount of power, but if you look at the generation assets, it's only Y that is coming through. So we need to manage or deal with, I mean, a deficit of Z, otherwise the whole system will collapse. That consistently, that has been what GRIDCO as a system operator has been doing and telling not just ECG, but NETCO as well. If some load will have to go off, normally because ECG, they are the entity, utility, that has direct contact and contract with you and I. So, yes, we can, but you see, let ECG tell the regulator that it's not my problem, it's not my fault, I am not the one, but you don't go and inform the public that this is the problem, and then when we are put to test to prove it, it turned out not to be true. So I'm sure we can argue as to who should release a load shedding or load management timetable, but quite frankly, it's ECG who have to tell their customers that we don't have enough power, so we're going to take you out.
Yeah, I need to commend the commission for your consistency, because we've been following the publications. You've made specific demands of ECG, and the ones they have complied with, you have acknowledged. And the ones they have not complied with, you've acknowledged. My last question, though, is they didn't comply with the Cashwater 4-1, but I think your punishment to them was more on the prior publication of plant outage and notification. You took a stronger view of that than, say, monthly bank statement not being published or allocation of revenue to the cash water for mechanism. Why is the plant outage one of a more serious consequence to you than the allocation to the tariff revenue to CWM?
We are actually asking the ECG to refund some money to some stakeholders in the cash waterfall. I don't know whether that you probably didn't see.
Okay,
that.
Okay, yes.
That's the largest amount, you see. And this is not money that we are asking ECG to cough out. No, this is, you see, ECG normally at the end of the period will declare that we're able to collect, let's say, for the sake of this discussion, let's say we were able to collect a bill in a month. So that's money that ECG declared to the cash waterfall mechanism. So once the money is declared, then the committee will use the methodology, the formula, to determine what goes to everyone within the value chain. So what this order is asking ECG to do is that for a period of time, the amount of money they declared and based on which the money was apportioned and allocated, ECG still didn't pay some of the stakeholders within the value chain. It's not as if they said they didn't collect the money. So you said a million. So if it's a billion and everybody in the value chain is supposed to get, let's say 20 million CDs. And then even though you declared a billion, you are only able to account for, let's say, or you're able to disburse only about 600 million. The difference over the period of time is what we are asking ECG to pay. Because, you see, these entities within the value chain will need the money. Some of them are even using bank overdraft to pay their staff and all of that. And we are asking ECG, because it's money they themselves told everybody that they've collected, and going by the methodology, we've calculated the arrears that ought to have been paid, and that's what we are asking ECG to pay by a certain timeline. So if you look at everything in the order, that is the biggest amount of money. And that one is not, we're not asking any director. We said ECG as a company should pay the money back to the stakeholders in the cash waterfall mechanism.
Wonderful. Just a final point. So The frequency of the power outages has also affected some devices. Yesterday in the office, the power went off like 8 times. I have a fridge that is not functioning well, and I strongly believe that it's because of the thing that they've done with the fluctuation in the power supply. Is this something the PUC can help me? Do I need to apply to you? Do I need to bring the fridge to your office?
Always. Just even if you go to the PUC website, you can lodge a complaint. Over the past 24 months or so, if you read some of the updates that the commission has been providing, we've managed to get the utilities to pay for some of these things. Once the investigation is conducted and it's established that the fault is coming from the distributors and customers are entitled to compensation, that is in the act. And you have several avenues digitally, or if you want to submit a complaint direct to in the PURC's regional offices at the North Height, they will be happy to take up your petition. It will be duly investigated. And once the findings are established, adequate compensation will be paid. And maybe let me use your platform. And I think the secretary is doing a wonderful job all over the country, letting people understand that you have a right. You can make a claim if you are convinced that because of some action or inaction on the part of the distribution company, you've suffered any damage, you are entitled to be compensated once the PURC establishes who is culpable.
Thank you for talking to us, Commissioner Ejekum Hini. He is one of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 commissioners working under chairman. So I need to mention the names. Ebukwe Green is the chairman. Dr. Ishmael Laka is the commissioner and chief executive commissioner. Mrs. Doral Pong, Mr. Ishmael Ejekum Hini, Mr. Patrick Nyaku, Dr. Yawedu Jemfi, Professor Joan Makutufo, and Dr. Kwabna Nyakuoto. I know some of the people on this commission, very, very accomplished people. So we've heard their reasoning. I'm sure you've made your arguments. The lawyers for the commissioners are also didn't know what to do. I want to do a quick Agama lizard. And I know after this one, you agree with me. Because this one, you didn't agree with me fully, but this one, you agree with me. I am not for high transport fares. Just like you said, the caveat, that you are not for ECG misconducting itself. I'm not for high transport fares. And I'm for order and law. Okay. But I understand the dynamics of cost buildup. I know there's taxes, there's exchange rate matters, there's spare parts, and there's all kinds of things that goes into transport fares. So I find it odd for the Ministry of Transport not to advise. If they could have advised drivers to say, drivers, please wait for us to finish with GPRTU before you announce your fare. That would have been okay. But to go and I'm not saying drivers should behave in any way, because I know some drivers do something which are not right. They can take you from Madina and say they are going to Circle. Then when they get to Pogro, they say, oh, petrol has finished, all of you get down. Then they load all kinds of crazy things. But just like you, I find it odd for them to now direct the police to arrest drivers who charge fares, quote-unquote, unapproved. Unapproved. Now, who is approving this fare? Is it the ministry or the GPRTU? And is this approval by law or by convention? All right. Now, if it's by convention, there's a place for convention in law. But is that enough to warrant an arrest? Is it a criminal offense for a driver to say, look, I'm not making ends meet. Petrol has gone up. It's now 14 point something, 1.5. So I want to charge 2 cedis instead of 1 cedi between Madina Estate and Madina. For somebody like you who says you are a defender of the law, and I wish I had the full statement from the ministry, then it will ground my argument in a bit of strength. I'm looking for it here. If you have it, you can read it for me. But I initially saw it on the City News platform, and it came up yesterday when Selom was interviewed on this on Eyewitness News. But on the face of it, that's what they are saying. They are saying if a driver charges the unapproved fare, the police should arrest him. I think that's not on.
See, so the constitution makes it very clear that the only time you can arrest and punish a person for something that he did wrong. I think our microphone is off.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We're off for a while. The microphone was off. So the constitution of our land makes it clear that the only time you can arrest and punish a person for something that he has done wrong or did not do or failed to do. It's where there's an express provision in law saying that that particular thing is wrong. And mm-hmm. therefore, when you do it,
mm-hmm.
you shall be held liable by mm-hmm. a court of law, relevant, you know, mm-hmm. Adjudicated body.
Mm-hmm.
In the circumstances of this case, I'm not seated with the full facts, but what you tell us, which I believe is the case, is mm-hmm. that a directive has been issued by a ministry
mm-hmm.
saying that drivers who charge unapproved fares
mm-hmm.
should be arrested and possibly prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
As a general principle, there are fees and levies that Parliament approves. Those affecting trotters are not one of them.
Thank you.
So if the ministry really wants to deal with drivers who are doing the wrong thing,
Parliament should approve trotter fares.
Yeah, that's right. Which way I do not think that they even should come into.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, there's some really good reasons why they should.
Or unless it's a public bus service.
Yeah, that's right.
Like GAPTI.
Uh-huh. In that case, if they come under their scope and the law is passed to that effect, that would be fair. But this is a private matter.
Mm-hmm.
If the ministry sees that some drivers are misbehaving,
mm-hmm.
the people have their own unions. Mm-hmm. They have GPRTU of talk and related institutions who do the things that they do in mm-hmm. that private domain.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take up the issue with them and say that, oh, it would seem that your members are in breach, or some of your members are in breach of collective decisions that we have made.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, they will take administrative,
actions against them. You can forfeit your membership.
Exactly.
But you cannot arrest me. So uh-huh. even if the GPRTU has come up with specific fees, I don't think it's binding on their members.
No, it should be binding because their constitution will tell you that you are a member
of the association. So my point is that if they decide not to go by it, it's not an offense to be prosecuted by law.
No. That,
it's a voluntary organization. Yes, so yes, so my argument is the police matter.
Uh-huh.
Because the police and drivers have their own skirmishes. So mm-hmm. for me, and I'm not saying drivers should disobey GPRTU, but if a driver feels like the GPRTU price prescription is not in his own benefit, he can be a floating driver.
Yeah.
Unless there's a specific law that prohibits floating.
Yeah, which is not the case in our. Let me just give you a caveat though. You see, there's an interesting case in the UK where a passenger flew in from some place. He mm-hmm. landed at one of the airports, mm-hmm. and then a taxi driver took him.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, let's say let's assume that Kotoka International Airport and the person was coming to City FM,
mm-hmm.
that should cost you maybe 35 Ghana cedis or maybe 50 Ghana cedis.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy didn't know how much you pay, so he just put his hand in his pocket and pulled out some pounds and then gave it to the driver.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, the driver ought to have been truthful to have said that, okay, this thing should cost me £50.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking just £50 out of the money that you gave me. In fact, he took in excess of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested.
No, he was given in excess of that. He didn't take it. They give it.
No, you see. So you see that's why it's a very beautiful exposition of the law.
Mm.
The judges held that because he knew or ought to have known that what he needed to charge was, say, I'm not using the exact figure, £50.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He charged in excess. He took in excess of that. He had stolen or committed theft.
Wow.
You understand? So if the GPRT, the Ministry of Transport wants to espouse that principle, they are liberty to see how
just that in this case, we haven't agreed on the charge. So the bone of contention is the charge.
Yes, the charge, yes.
So it may not necessarily apply.
No, I'm just stating the general principle of...
My thinking could be something around extortion. Okay, what is extortion? If maybe we need to look at that.
No, by extortion in this case, there has to be a price set fully.
That's my point. So because the dispute is on the price,
uh-huh.
I don't see the police coming in.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yes, same as you.
Yes.
So we are at idem.
Yes.
Let's read some comments. There's definitely not a meeting of minds when it comes to the PURC matter because I think that the PURC are well within their right to do what they did. Nathan,
all right,
seems to agree with me.
Yeah, Kofi Atta from Cambridge. I agree with you. I actually agree with the two sides.
You can't agree with the two sides.
You are in the
PURC matter.
No, I still agree with you.
You have to choose one.
I agree with you.
We agree with you more.
More than Richard. I get rich. You know, no, to be honest, relax.
Nathan, you can't sit on the fence on this.
No. I'm saying this is what I mean. Yeah. And I think that sometimes gray also helps. Yeah, kind of black or white. I'm saying that I agree with you largely,
uh-huh.
right, on the principle that
the people at the ACG, they have to pay a fine. Somebody has to pay a fine.
Yes.
It's either the ECG as an entity or the people running ECG.
All their board fees. Go back,
you understand? Where I agree with, and I get Sky's point about, you know, why is the PRC going after the directors? Maybe they should have gone after the entity first, and then, like he's saying, somebody in the entity can say,
minister, when they go after the entity, we'll find
a way. We'll find a way.
The directors, you know,
but Richard, all I'll say is that I think he also speaks to, it just speaks to the law, and I won't say it's deficiency, but the fact that maybe it should have been written to accommodate some of these instances that says that an entity like the PURC can go after the ECG board members, or can go after board members when they feel that if they slap a fine on the entity, it goes against the public interest.
Exactly.
So I feel maybe the law could have been written to accommodate that flexibility.
Why is ECG refusing to give us a timetable?
It's disrespect.
That's my point.
It's disrespect.
And ECG is not acting as a company without the individuals acting. So ECG is not sitting there as some behemoth. There are individuals behind the ECG's decision not to do that. And it's causing loss to all of us.
Yes.
So I have a fridge gone. Somebody has lost their business. Have they paid us for it? Do you get it? And if we, for me, sometimes we should, I'm not saying put law aside, but just ask yourself some basic questions. You are refusing to give me a low shedding timetable, but you are putting off my light. Even as of yesterday, the light went off the whole night. And then today it comes on, it goes off again, and you are refusing to do what you are supposed to do. PRC has given you many chances to do the right thing. You are refusing to do it.
Yeah. You see, that is where I say that
find the people.
The disrespect flows up the chain. Because if the directors of the board are the people liable for the disrespect, in my respectful view, there is an appointing authority. Of course, the company, we the people of Ghana own the company.
Yeah.
But we have vested our...
When they find the company, your money is what is going. But if you find the individuals,
no,
that's the whole story.
You have
ended the matter.
No, I'm saying
you have
that...
ended the discussion.
No, I'm saying that we should follow due process.
The company belongs to us.
No, but I'm actually dealing with a point that you made, which is what? The disrespect. If the ECG is failing to do what they are required by law to do, the president knows what to do. He is the appointing authority.
That's due process. You see your face. See, I catch you.
Which one?
You see,
you dissolve the board.
No, hold on.
No,
you just made a due process argument.
Yes.
The president has to allow PURC to work.
No, which
is... And he's doing it.
No, I have said that. No, better.
So I'm just saying that if we are to follow this pedantic due process thing you are bringing, then all of us will not do anything.
No, let's because the issues.
If
in this particular
you want
case,
the president to act.
Yeah, because in this case, there have been directives given. The people of Ghana have demanded
PURC time. Exhausted, because the president can also say the PURC has not exhausted we haven't exhausted the PRC process for him to step in.
Well, that's fair. That's a fair argument. But the only thing
we all suffer.
But who is suffering the loss of political capital here? It's the president.
But is there any capital left?
Bernard and Sky, I am listening to your discussion on the PRC and its fine on ECG that is being searched to the directors. In principle, Sky is right, because it's not enough for PRC to say that the directors have breached the directives of PRC to be searched. The PRC must prove that the directors have been negligent to the extent that no reasonable person would have disregarded their directives before the directives could be searched. Thank you, Kofi Atta, Cambridge, UK. Okay. City.
Yeah.
Kindly assist me to ask ECG.
Okay, I think we've read this one.
Okay, we've read that. Yes. Domko Abenya people are not happy. Good morning, Bernard and team. After 24 hours, we at IMESA still do not have power.
Look at that.
Mokole. Good morning, Bernard and team. Please, my question about the PRC fine is the fine going to be paid by the state or from the pockets of the board members? If it's the state, then the fine is...
That's the whole point. That's earlier. So it's the board members' pocket money we are taking. That's the issue that we are discussing here. More comments.
Good morning. As consumers of ECG, we support the suit against the board members. The fine, you mean? They are not respecting us as consumers
at all.
We don't know how much it would cost them to come out with their timetable.
They should pay.
Edwin from Abilikuma is not happy. Bernard, for those of us at New Bawe, we had light out from about 10 a.m. yesterday to 7:28 this morning. Aldo from New Bawe is not happy. Bernard, Dumso is still real. Our lights just went off at Teshi Nungwa Estate. It went off twice yesterday, and currently we are off. Dumso in election year. Joe Martin from Teshi Nungwa Estate. Just when I was thanking God, ECG is looking the other way. They have descended upon me. Flo from Greta Estate is not happy. My light just went off as you were discussing ECG. Samuel, sorry.
They don't need to listen to the discussion. No,
sorry. Good morning, CBS team. Ah, so now ECG says it's grid code that should be blamed. Didn't ECG say that Dumso is not a generation problem, but their transformers are faulty and are being repaired? If you ask me.
I told you last week that they were not being true.
Call me from Tema. PRC catch them.
Yeah. Bernard, good morning. Since 8 a.m. yesterday, we've not had light up till now. My meat.
You
said
to do light soup and let your neighbors eat quickly. instead of wasting that meat, do light soup and invite your neighbors.
Good morning, Bernard and team.
Everyone should bring their kinky in that spring soup.
I stay at Dumpila too. They took our light around 6:30 p.m. yesterday. And it has still not been restored. Wonder.
I saw this message came in a little
earlier, right? Yes. Will the Ghanaian who suffers this Dumso have a share in this penalty?
Money.
Yeah, the fine. Will we have
I think the money will go to some fund, and that's when they have to compensate you, they'll use you to pay. So, for example, if I have a damaged machine, I'm sure some of these monies, I hope it goes into. But it was amazing about Sky that the people should listen to Sky.
Yeah, it's down there. He said the
you go on.
ECG must be made to even pay 10 million. Can you imagine they turned off the light at Soutum around, and when we called them, they said we weren't supposed to be off, so the fault could be from the supplier, and not long after, exactly at 10 p.m., there was a robbery operation at the area. Heard one of the robbers was shot in the leg by a neighbor. ECG must take us seriously. After all the hustle... After all the hustle, they hustle us for our money.
We are reading the things away. In Sharaba from Soutum says, Bernard, please, Soutum, Lighthouse Chapel area. We was not having light as I got home last night at 8 p.m. It was 7:42 a.m. as I sent this message, and still no light. Koku, nobody knows when the light will come.
This one is calling you by this. Koku, you were mentioning the list of Engineer Mahama. There no doom at 7:38 a.m. North K. I hope this is not viral doom.
I hope so too.
Bernard, I'm angry this morning. I think we as Ghanaians are not angry enough. This Dumso without timetable is frustrating. I think we have to go to the streets to register our displeasure on this. I have slept in darkness for too long. Pious from Kwabena. Good morning. I've resorted to sleeping at my cousin's because of Dumso. It's very appalling. BB from Tabora. Bernard, yesterday I took my wife to the Ashaiman Polyclinic. The Dumso is just like disco lights. Gideon from Community 22 and next. Good morning, Bernard. The PRC, the PRC acted ultra virus. They have no authority to lift the veil. That's the work of the court. The PRC regulates the utilities companies, not the personnel. This is Christian. How I wish this is the message.
This is the message, the message of the day.
How I wish the ECG directors would listen to Richard the last guy and go to court. Then the judge will give them a higher fine, like 10 million to pay. And Kamube who say Bibi will we ask.
9:21 City Breakfast Show. Take a short break. We have more for you. Stay with us.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
It's 24 minutes past 9. And we have our friend from Icon Auto Tech in the studio. Albena says, I should do this interview because I'm the one who has car problem. It is me, my car is giving me a holler.
So Icon Auto Tech is here, and they are a 360 degree auto solution garage located in Tema Community 25. They've been in existence since 2010 and they have 5 departments. So Isaac Natter is here. I'll let him tell us all about that. But today we want to look at auto body design safety. So we are looking at older models and newer ones. And we are looking at front impact collision safety designs and its advantages. But first, you have some 5 departments at your 360 degree auto solution garage that we want to know about. So tell us about it.
Okay. So I'm Isaac Natter, as we mentioned. We started this business in 2010. And then we have 5 departments, the sales and service, and then we have the spare parts. We have the mechanical department, which consists of the servicing of transmission, engine, AC. Then we have the body and paint, where we do the body repairs and spray. And then we also have transmissions. Okay.
Technical training and all of
training.
That.
We also do... pimping and remodification.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you're looking at safety features, what are you considering in the designing of auto body? In what's the latest in that?
Okay. So automobile body is one of the major areas of cars or automobiles. If you look at the body forms about 70 to 80% of the entire vehicle. Now, the body has 3 sections. Every car has 3 sections. The frontal, the center, and then the rear section. Now, I want to talk about just the front section for today. The frontal section have safety designs on the body itself, not the electrical aspect of it. This safety had to do with the front bumper, the bonnet, the chassis, and then even the suspensions. Safety has been designed into that. And that's what I want your listeners or our listeners to know. So that when you take your car to a workshop and then you're doing especially body repairs, you should know that it's not every part of the body that you need to cut and weld. It's not every part of the body that you need to apply filler or paint. Some part of the body need sealant, some part of the body need just fiber, whatever. Okay, so for instance, you ask yourself why a car will hit from the front and then the bonnet just kinks down. Most of the time, the bonnet kinks down that way. When you open the bonnet or the hood, you see some designs in the integral part of it.
Yeah.
Just like a shape, some shapes in there. Those shapes there are there for collision absorption.
Okay.
So they are called crash beads. Yeah, crash beads. Yes, when you take the bumper or the bumper cover out, you see some whitish stuff there. They normally take it out. When you take it to a workshop, they say, oh, it's not needed. They take it out. Those things there are to absorb impact. So that when you accidentally hit someone or hit any
you
object,
have a collision.
You have a collision. Basically. Such things will kind of crumple and then absorb the impact so that it doesn't transfer to you, the occupant or the driver in the car. The older models don't have it. So when the car is involved in an accident at front, the impact force with the vibration will move directly into the car and then you will be hurt. People complained recently that these newer vehicles are soft. Yes, they should be soft and ductile so that it will be able to, you know, absorb the impact in case there's an accident.
I see.
Yes.
So, in the event there is a crash, I mean, what kind of equipment do you have at Icon in repairing these, and how long does it take for you to do that?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is that no matter how brilliant you are, you need a guide. And one of the things we have is the repair manuals, okay, which will guide you on where to cut, where to weld, where to position, where to apply sealant. And then we also have what we call the... a new robotic a neurobotic integrated frame system, mm-hmm. where when the car is involved in an accident, mm. we park the car on it. It has a 360 chain and hooks and systems where you just hook the body and then you operate it, and it will pull the body anywhere you want to pull. We also have an integrated welding machines where our machines are just, we have aluminum welding machines, we have plastic welding machines, we have fiberglass integrated repair kits, okay. And then most of these panels are also not just steel, they are HSS, high strength steel. You can't just weld it with any welding machine. You need the required welding machines. Mm. So we have all this equipment mm. at our disposal. And then repair manuals to follow.
I see.
Yeah.
Since you talk about welding, let me just ask you this. There's this particular issue where every other time, so I'm talking about this. This is what I'm talking about, my car.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I take it to my mechanic and look, they are back. They pack it. I give them one issue to deal with. They come and pack the car. By the time I move it, then the shock absorber on the left-hand side is broken. Right? Mm-hmm. And that has been fixed like twice. And so now they're like, oh, let's get a welder to look at it to find out what exactly is making this thing break. I don't understand. What's happening there?
Okay. So there are two types of vehicle designs.
Mm-hmm.
Your vehicle have two types of chassis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The SUVs have what we call the conventional frame system. And then the smaller ones have what we call the unitized frame system.
Mm-hmm.
The unitized one means that your shock is mounted directly on the chassis.
Okay.
And then the what we call the apron. You got the chassis and the apron and the body is welded together.
Okay.
So it's one integral stuff. Now, I can tell from what you're saying that maybe your car was involved in an accident from the front elsewhere. Maybe you are aware. Did you buy a new one or a used one?
Yeah, it was new.
It was new.
Mm-hmm.
It was not very involved in an accident?
No.
But it keep breaking all the time.
I mean, this has been for some time now. So
when your chassis is not properly aligned,
mm-hmm.
you might think it is alignment. They will tell you take it to alignment. You go do alignment, do tire balancing, you do whatever. The problem will not be solved. Maybe the chassis had moved out of alignment.
Let's come back to you, right? what models of vehicles do you work on, and what makes you unique in your workshop?
Oh, okay. So we work on all models. We have the Toyota and Lexus path, and then we have the BMW and the Benz, the Dutch path, because I was training both in Ghana and overseas. Okay, so we have that path, and then we also have the one for the Korea vehicles. Okay, so any type of vehicle you bring, we have the engineers to work on it. We have engineers for all the sections.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. So where are you located and how can we contact you?
Okay, we're located at the Community 25 behind the MF estate, and mm-hmm. then you can contact us on our telephone number. It's 020-878-7048 and then 0266-273310.
Let me ask you a bonus question for my listeners' interest. If someone is considering buying a new car, what considerations, top priorities should they look out for?
Okay, every car buyer must consider safety, fuel consumption, and then durability.
Safety, fuel consumption, and durability. Durability.
Yes.
Okay.
There are instances where people come to call us. They want to go buy cars. They want us to advise them on the type of car to buy to serve the purpose. You buy a car to serve a purpose.
Okay.
Not just buy any car.
Mm.
Those people who normally have problems are the people who buy the used ones.
Okay.
You can see that they brought a car from overseas, slight accident, you know, and they don't do it well, the joints and wires somewhere.
So there's always a recurring issue.
Exactly. Okay. So we go in there and then we advise you, we check the car, both body, electrical, mechanical, whatever. We check and then we'll give you the go ahead to buy. Mistakes people do is that sometimes they even pay half
before
pay
they
before
make
they come and then we reject the car and it becomes a problem.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you need to know what the purpose is going to serve.
Yes.
And then you have to think about safety,
consumption, and then durability.
Consumption and durability. What about parts, the availability of parts? Because there are times where you are told that
some parts of this particular model is not available.
That is where the after sales service comes in.
Mm.
Okay, so after sales service, you look at the vehicle that maybe we have a service center available in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
or a vehicle that it's popular in Ghana, which you can have the mechanics or engineers available to fix it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Like, there are names we can talk about, but thank you, Isaac Nate, Icon Auto Solutions, right?
Yeah, and Auto Tech. Yeah.
Right. And your garage is located in Tema Community 25. Thank you for passing through. It's an interesting time, right?
Thank you.
All right. Now, if you are a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, look no further than the Ghana Grows program brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Ghana Grows ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. So whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, this program equips you with the skills to thrive, gain access to career guidance, counseling and essential skills training. Join us and contribute to Ghana's growth through careers in agriculture and ATVET. Embrace Agri and ATVET careers with Ghana Grows, an initiative of MasterCard Foundation in partnership with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. For more information, call 0308-255-775. We'll take a very quick break. When we're back, we have more for you.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
It's 20 minutes to the top of the hour. And we have friends from the Hemophilia Ghana Hemophilia Society. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 17th of April, is the World Hemophilia Day. And so we are having a conversation to create some awareness. Joining me in the studio, I have a nurse from Kolebu Teaching Hospital and a member of the Ghana Hemophilia Society, Albert Pepra. And then Boache Martin is president and founder, Ghana Hemophilia Society. Janet Mamaga Abalo is a parent of a ward who has hemophilia. So let's get into this. Welcome to the studio, gentlemen, ladies. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, great, great. So what's hemophilia? Let me start with the Ness, right? Ness, hemophilia is what?
Okay. Hemophilia is a Greek word and it's into two words, him and philia. Him means blood.
Okay.
And philia means abnormal love for. So when you combine the two words, it means abnormal love for blood. It's a genetic disorder.
I see.
That does not allow blood to clot normally.
Mm.
This is the reason that we have 13 main clotting factors in our blood. 13 main.
Okay.
We have clotting factor 1, 2, up to 13. But the key ones are the factor 8 and factor 9. So those who lack or have low levels of the factor 8, they are the hemophilia A. And those who also lack and have low levels of the factor 9, they are the hemophilia B. So we have two main types of the hemophilia.
I see.
Just as I said, they lack the key clotting factors in their blood. So for them, when they have injury, trauma, they can bleed excessively. It takes a long time for their blood to clot. They can even bleed for more than weeks.
Wow.
Yes. more than with getting to months.
I mean, for us to have a Ghana Hemophilia Society, it means then that this condition is prevalent, isn't it?
Yes.
Mr. Boate Martin, talk to me about the prevalence of the hemophilia.
Yes. It is prevalent. And the prevalence rate is measured statistically. And it said that for every 10,000 population,
mm-hmm.
you have one hemophilic patient.
For every 10,000?
For every 10,000 births, there's one likely to be, probably be a hemophilic.
Okay.
So, for instance, in Ghana, that we have around 30 million as a population, there's a likelihood that we have about 3,000 patients of hemophilia around that we don't know.
Janet, Mamaga Abalo, you're a parent. Yeah. Which of your children has this condition?
I have two.
Mm.
The firstborn and the thirdborn, they are boys.
They are all hemophilic?
Yes.
Is that the expression?
Yes.
Wow. At what stage did you discover this?
When I gave birth to my firstborn, mm-hmm. when he was circumcised, mm-hmm. he bled to the extent that even the doctors couldn't manage it. So we ended up in Kwalibu. That is when he was diagnosed of it.
Wow. Is this treatable? Is it curable?
Yes, please. We have a surgery to treat it, but it's not really common. Mm. So now what we do is to manage the condition. Mm. Yes.
I see.
No, it's very manageable.
Tell me about living with two children who have or who are hemophilic. How is it like? And especially because they are boys, they are also very boisterous. They are always playing and they get injured every now and again. So they will bleed and it will take so long for their blood to clot. Paint a picture for me.
It is not easy to manage hemophilia children. It was a very difficult task for me to carry. But I get very emotional. Please forgive me whenever I'm talking about this issue, because you see your child... Your child can't play with anybody, but by the time you realize, you see your child bleeding. And it made me to shield the boys in a way that even some of my friends and my family members think I shield them too much. But if I don't take care, then I'll be in and out of the hospital all the time with them. So
they are not able to engage with their peers and play normally, because your heart is always beating that at the least fall, they are going to bleed for a long time.
Yes, and we are always in and out of Kwalibu. Thanks to the Hemophilia Society of Ghana, I have even lost them. Because without the factor, there's no way they could survive.
I see. Is this something that is within your family? Would you say that it runs through your family?
Yes. My cousin has it.
Okay.
That's my auntie's son.
Okay.
So I've been hearing it from afar. I didn't know I would even give birth to some of these children. Right. But I'm the first girl among four girls.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I got two. My younger sister got one.
Wow. So Ness, this is transferable?
Yes. Yes. No,
how does one get this? Yes. It's genetic.
Yes. Parents pass it on to their children.
Right.
And we have sex chromosomes that determines our gender.
Okay.
Females are XX.
Yes.
And males are XY. And the condition affects the X chromosome. And it's this same X chromosome that also produces the clotting factors.
Mm.
Yes. So men suffer from the condition more than females.
I see.
Just because we men are XY. So when you have a defective X,
mm-hmm.
the only X which is defective, the Y doesn't
play any role.
Because
the women or the females are XX, if one is affected, the other one can double up.
Okay. Yes, yes. It comes about when there's a mutation in our gene, when there's a mistake somewhere in the clotting factor.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. So now we are commemorating the World Hemophilia Day, which is tomorrow. What's the focus for this year's commemoration?
The hemophilia, as explained already, we have two, three types. We have the hemophilia A, as the nurse said. We had the hemophilia B, And then, of course, we have the rest. But one other thing is we have hemophilia. That is described as von Willebrand.
Von Willebrand. Yes,
von Willebrand. It's a type of the hemophilia, the same clotting factors. And that one is exhibited mostly by women. So if you have a woman, for instance, that have excessive bleeding, for instance, research has shown that they have the symptoms that men display in a way that they cause the bleeding. Women display that, and that is called von Willebrand.
I see.
There's a new type of bleeding disorder that is for men. So now, the World Federation of Hemophilia is saying that this year's theme for hemophilia celebration is access, equitable distribution, equitable access for all. And the all means that whichever type of hemophilia condition that you have, there's medicine for you, it can be cured, and that every potential hemophilic patient must come forward. It also means that the world body is grappling with a condition where in advanced countries, there is significantly more access to factors or drugs than in the developing countries. The ratio is about 1 to 10. So it's also a vision or a mission for them to try and make medicine accessible to the developing countries like us. I mean, if we receive like 10 parts of a batch, a developed country receiving like
hundreds.
Yeah. So it is their mission to make sure that access is given to every patient of hemophilia wherever you are. That is the theme for this year. Of course, then it also means that we must create awareness to every potential patient that show these symptoms that we described, like you bleeding into joints and elbows and head. Sometimes they bleed intracranially. My son died for bleeding into intracranial. Yeah, they bleed everywhere. Your son hemophilic wakes up in the morning and the mouth is full of blood. He wakes up in the morning and the limbs are all locked up because of bleeding.
Wow.
Yes. So now we are saying that we should advocate for people which have all these symptoms to come forward, because in Ghana, for instance, we anticipate to have about 3,000 patients of hemophilia.
Wow.
As I speak, our database shows that we have a little over 500 patients. So we are looking for the potential 2,500 patients.
Is this a condition that's stigmatized?
Well, it is stigmatized.
I see.
But out there in the developed countries, they know. I mean,
there is support.
There's support. There's cure immense support. And even in advanced countries, it is part of the care system. When you give birth to a child, as part of the antenatal care, they call it, they test also whether these things of babies of hemophilia right from birth receive care, because they test them right from even when the mother is pregnant.
Right. You sound very knowledgeable about hemophilia. I was going to ask you if you are a nurse or a doctor, or you've taken some courses in hemophilia.
I'm not a doctor or a nurse. I'm an engineer by profession, anyway. Right. But I have done this work for the past 15 years. 15 years.
How did you start that?
Yes. So that's how we started. I lost my son several years ago.
Right.
And then there was no cure in Ghana.
Your son was hemophilic?
Yeah, he was hemophilic. Oh, okay. And nobody knew what it was then.
Wow.
So Kwelebu grappled with it until he was 4 and he passed. There was no solution.
My God.
So when I had my second son, I said, no, I won't sit down. So I took my son to the U.S. for diagnosis, and he came out hemophilic. Then the U.S., somebody advised, the only way that we can help you is if you start an NGO. Otherwise, there are potential patients suffering and dying in Ghana.
Right.
So when I came 15 years ago, I started this movement.
Right. How has being a part of the society helped you? I'm sure you're part of the Hemophilic Ghana Hemophilia Society. So for you as a mother, how has that helped you?
It has really helped me a lot, because my son is, the elderly one is 20 years old now, and the younger one is 13 years. I've been telling Mr. Boachi that if you had not been for this Hemophilia Society of Ghana, I don't know what will happen to my son, especially the first one. He's always bleeding. He doesn't play football, he doesn't do anything, but there are times he wakes up in the morning and you see blood all over the place.
Wow.
You see?
Interesting.
So whenever he goes for the factor, then he becomes stable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what are we doing? What do you want the public to know? What should be done?
I want every potential patient, every listener listening to us, all parents, you know, and caregivers and all guardians, if these symptoms that the nurse described, you know, bleeding uncontrollably, excessively,
you wake up in the morning, there's blood everywhere, you have joints that are swollen, they should quickly go to healthcare centers, especially to Kolebu and to Konfanoche. And we have our satellite stations in Koforidua and Sunyane. You should quickly go. There's support over there because until now, even though we have been doing education advocacy for 5-15 years, still it's not enough.
Yeah.
So people who have these symptoms, who are listening to us, we have some friend or some uncle, child, displaying these symptoms,
there is care, help.
They must go and get tested.
There is help. Let me wrap up with you, the nurse. What kind of assurance can you give us that when we come to the health centers, the health facilities, you will take very good care of us?
Yes.
And our children who are hemophilic.
Through the Ghana Hemophilia Society, they solicit for these drugs because the drugs are very costly. Even one vial can cost us like 3,000 Ghana cedis. And there are some patients who have it for twice a week, three times a week, every week. And you can imagine, we can't pay for that. So all these are donations from the World Federation of Hemophilia through Ghana Hemophilia Society.
Right.
So we have these drugs, the factors that we administer to the patient. And these factors are free and free for everybody.
So you have enough for us?
At times, they are not really enough.
Okay.
So we mostly target the severe ones. Some of them, they don't even have the clotting factors at all.
I see.
So with them, they bleed spontaneously.
What kind of support can be lent to the society, given that you don't have all the medications that you need?
Thank you very much. So like the nurse said, we have the world body that is donating these drug called factors to the society, to the health centers, but they are not enough. So we are talking with the government to get hemophilia care listed on National Health Insurance scheme.
Okay.
So we are halfway through. When we get there, maybe hemophilia patients can go and get screened, diagnosed, and then also get their drugs as well.
Right. That's a very good one. In fact, let me give you the last word, Madam Janet. How can the society help? What can we do to make your burden easier for you?
As for the society, the Hemophilia Society of Ghana, they are doing a lot.
I'm talking about the general society, the Ghanaian people who see children who are hemophilic. How do they treat you when you come with your children and all of that? What do you want to change since we have established that it's been stereotyped?
Yes. My appeal goes to especially the teachers in the schools.
Okay.
I'm pleading with them because of my experience with my children. Some of the teachers, I'm just pleading that they should look out for these children. Whenever a parent comes to the school with a medical report that my child is a hemophilic, some of the teachers, they don't even have, they don't understand the reason why such a child shouldn't be lashed in the class. They don't understand.
And they still want to lash the kids who bleed at the least?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
So I'm just pleading, especially to the teachers in the school.
Thank you. Thank you for passing through. It's been really eye-opening. Thank you for the great job you do, Boate Martin, President and Founder of Ghana Hemophilia Society, engineer by profession. Thank you for the work you do. More power to you. Albert Pepra, you are a nurse with Kolebu Teaching Hospital. You're a member of the Ghana Hemophilia Society. We appreciate your work. God bless you. Janet Mamaga Abalo, you are a parent. You have hemophilic children. Thank you for sharing your story with us. You've really enlightened us, and we will do better as teachers and society in general. Thank you, lady and gentlemen. Good to see you, and all the best with your program tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Great. So that was Albert Boache and Janet, and we were having a conversation about hemophilia. And it's 4 minutes to the top of the hour. And if you want to buy anything, it has to be the very best. Introducing to you Diamond 42.5 hour grade cement. No, it's the highest quality cement on the Ghanaian market. You know this already. We've done this with you since 2000. the year 2000. We've been putting your smiles on your face as a homeowner, as a block maker, and we've been supporting numerous constructions with our high quality brand, and it's rated green by the EPA. Now we have the affordable 32.5-hour grade, which means there is a good deal for everyone. That's great value for your pocket. You deserve the very best, my friend. Make Diamonds Cement your number one choice for all your building needs. Deal with us directly. Locate us at our factories are in Aplau, Takrady, and Buepe. But you find our products across the country. Call us on 0244-313-368, 0240-111-978, or 0202-021-175. Diamond Cement is still as hard as a diamond. And we have exciting news for you. You can now get your Omnibusic Visa Classic Debit Card instantly at any of our branches nationwide. Yes, it's instant with new and improved features, contactless and verified by Visa. So why wait? Visit any of our branches nationwide and get your Omnibusic Visa Classic Debit Card today. It's instant, secure and convenient. Omnibusic Bank at your service. Let's talk about your perfect sofa, the one Hawa loves, latex foam. We are introducing our sensational V-Sofa range where comfort meets style at prices that will make your heart skip a beat. From the sleek L-shaped V-Sofa at 3,100 Ghana cedis to the complete V-Sofa set for an affordable 6,500 Ghana cedis. Hurry, your perfect sofa awaits you. Latex foam is your partner for life. Listen, give your eye the best attention they deserve. Your eyes, give them the best attention they deserve. Don't joke with your eye this year. Don't joke. Krah. We have 33 years plus of experience. I'm talking about Roberts & Sons Limited Optical Services. We continue to offer comprehensive healthcare services, eye care services to help address many of your eye problems. We have all-day comprehensive eye testing, eye specialists, pediatric eye care, and several others. So visit Robert and Sons Optical. We are in Adabaka, Osu Dankwa Circle, Tema Community 6, Wager, East Legon, Adente, Kumasi, Ahondro, Koforidua, and our new Ultra Modern Abreport Junction branch in Kumasi. For more information, please call us on 0302-222-2601 or 0501-519-111, or visit us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Robert and Sons Limited. Robert and Sons Optical Services. Seeing as believing. Now, if you're a young like how Idrisu Mustafa, and you're looking for a fulfilling employment, look no further than the Ghana Growth Program. Is brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Ghana Growth ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical or vocational. Whether you're 15 or 35, old or young, male or female, this program equips you. So embrace a Greek and ATVET careers now. Call us on 0308-255-775. Howard, did you have electricity? Do you have power at home?
Yeah. Okay. Fortunately for me, I do.
Okay, because your shirt looks pressed. Not like a baker's shirt.